Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
There. Yes, we are.
Oh, okay.
So
here comes the big announcement.
Yes. I got 6 minutes before the bumper. That's right. Hi, everyone. You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. I am Benoit, a.k.a. Garris, depending on who you ask. I am with Fakeologist Mobile and Purple Play. And also the great Jan-Erik is with us, too.
Yes. Jan-Erik has a good mic, too. Everyone sounds good. And I was just thanking Purple Play for her latest donation. Thank you very much. I think you donated before, too, I think. I'm almost sure you have.
I have.
Maybe not. You have. That's what I thought. So it's very nice. And we were just talking about the value for value. I think it's a great model. And then you were also talking about podcasting 2.0, the Adam Curry interview with the Higher Side Chats. And they're trying to figure out how to get a cryptocurrency involved with the donations, maybe pay for play. It's all good info. I think it's great, actually. I think if I could just say I really like that podcast and just put down a dollar and shoot a dollar just for that podcast, and then I think that would be a great way of doing it.
Well, if they're going to involve the Bitcoin, I guess that's already, like I said, I was having trouble with my little cards there, so it would be nice to make it a little easier. Although I don't think Bitcoin.
As far as I see, that system kind of already exists. Like, for example, you got Cash App and all those type of systems.
People are
live streaming and they get live donations.
Maybe I should go into PayPal. Can you just go put money in PayPal and
Yeah.
You don't even need to be on PayPal, because the only time I did a donation to Fakeologist in 2019, I used my prepaid credit card, and I had absolutely no PayPal account, and it was still possible to donate anyway.
If you just put put a card in the PayPal or put money in there to have it sitting there for when you need it,
yes,
or when you want to use it, whatever.
Yeah, you can do that. That's how these guys make money. If you give them money and leave it on account, then they can use that money for their own purposes. Obviously, the interest rate is zero, so they could do whatever they wanted with that money, for instance.
Yeah. Well, a while back.
Speaking of money, are you aware of what has happened on the stock market allegedly this past week?
Yes. Game. Yes, I'm reading about that extensively now because it's interesting.
Right. Hey there.
Someone's at the door, Purple Play. Knock, knock.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. That's okay. You're a donor. You can do whatever you want. Just so everyone here knows, tonight at 8 o'clock in 2 hours, I'll be doing an interview with Peace of Mindful, Mark Tokarski. Really woke guy. I love his blog.
Excellent. Will it be streamed live or will it be released on a later date?
No, I always stream live.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. I hope it's good.
Have you done it before? With this guy?
No. I think he talked to Missam for a while, and he thought Missam was Fakeologist, or he's an older man. Maybe he was confused. But, yeah, this is the first time. Finally, we get to have a chat.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to connect through Skype, they can just send me a message. I'm Fakeologist on Skype, and I'll conference you in when we're ready.
I'm on Skype, so I will definitely be there.
Oh, that's fine. So I don't like Skype much, but If the guest wants to use Skype, I'll use Skype. I'm not that.
Yes,
not that
I probably have 3 or 4 apps on my cell phone that I only installed because we discussed it at one point or the other.
Right.
Good.
Well,
yeah,
sorry.
Go ahead. No, just, don't be sorry. Never say you're sorry.
I was just going to say.
That's a Canadian thing.
The bars are open tonight here, so I'm not sure I can hang out for.
We just came off
lockdown. We're free.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, Velocet's going to replace those bumpers too. He's already done the high bumpers. He does the melange, and they sound pretty good. So thanks, Velo.
Are they still going to come out in 20 minutes?
Well, yeah. I think so. You know, it's funny because sometimes they interrupt, and sometimes they're welcome interruptions. And I know they are disruptive, but sometimes they help, sometimes they don't. And
well,
it's hard
24-hour chats, absolutely. But for you know, small-time stuff, it's not so much.
I don't. It's hard. It would have to be artificially intelligent to not know when to interrupt. Even I don't personally know when not to interrupt. I just interrupt. I know that's girl. Females don't interrupt. They're very polite. But men,
Brian.
we're more likely to interrupt.
Yes. But if you get Rollo into the room, then you get to interrupt if you want to say anything. So
he's
a talent.
He's the king. He's the king of interruptions. And just so he knows, if he's listening, I'm probably not going to – my schedule changed because of COVID, because we're under the severest – I guess the severest lockdown possible. I don't know why. I don't know why we're getting smacked. I guess we can't recall our premier like they can in California. But wherever the case, the simulation says that Ontario is going to be locked down tight for another couple weeks. And therefore, it's starting to squeeze my business now. So I won't be on the audio for tomorrow because I'm not getting up. Because they don't have to tomorrow morning, super early. So I won't be on the Australian thing tomorrow for at least 3 weeks. It's really hard to get out of bed when it's really hard to get out of bed when it's cold out. And I don't even know for sure if they're going to be there either. They're pretty good, but I don't know for sure if they're going to show up. So
I will try to make some message stand and try to get them together tomorrow morning, since I don't work either tomorrow. So.
They're pretty consistent. They're pretty consistent. But I can't take the chance. I'm not getting up at that early hour just to see that they aren't there. Yeah.
No, but I will bait Rollo with some music, and he will be there.
Yeah, they'll probably be there. They're pretty good. But I'm going to stay up a little later tonight and talk to Mark. That could go for a couple hours easy, so then I'll be tired anyway. So
yes, you mentioned on your latest chat with Marcus Allen that you like more a 2-hour format, and after that you feel that you are less efficient, let's say.
Yeah. Well, Marcus talks as well as I do, so he doesn't need me to talk, but I can't sit in the same spot for 2 hours and I get tired. You know, I'm getting old. It's true. I'm getting old, so I can't do it. I don't know how anyone can. When I'm on the road, I'm in and out, so I'm running around, but just sit in the same chair, uncomfortable chair for 2 hours, I don't know how people can do it for 5 and 6 hours. It's not healthy. I know you run around with your phone too, so you're not really sitting still.
Most of the time, like for example, I'm pacing in the kitchen while I'm speaking with you.
Yeah, it's better to stand anyway, probably.
Yes.
But yeah, Gruesome Newsome. Now, why is the simulation changing in California, which, by the way, has a population more than Canada? So why is the simulation changing there? Why do you think he's slips. What's your thought? Why did they change it? Purple play. She's already gone to the bar. Wow. Okay,
maybe
let's ask Lost Spider's Palace.
Yes.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Oh, you're coming in hot, buddy. Really hot. Back off just a bit.
How do I do that?
Well, maybe just back off from your mic just a touch.
Okay. How's that?
That's okay. That's fine.
Okay, good. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I do have new headphones.
They're really good.
Oh, good. All right. I sound good. Oh, thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad I sound good.
Oh, yeah. You're really
sweet. And I'm driving, too, so woohoo. Yeah,
I need to catch up
on the news a little bit, but it's just because I live in L.A. County, and it's still, like, why are they opening stuff up? And they're saying that the hospitals are still full and all this stuff, but they're opening up anyway, and nobody can, they can't figure out why, right? If the hospitals are overrun, why would they start opening again?
To keep
I don't know. To give people something to fight about?
Yes.
So there's no logic to it at all. That's what I didn't think there'd be any good logic to it, but I just wondered what they were saying the reason was. What is the official word?
I had a news article I was reading about that. Why is Gavin Newsom opening even though hospitals are still full? And I think I fell asleep last night before I could read the article. I don't even know what the news is saying is the reason why, to be honest. I'm like, whatever. Open up everything. Sounds good to me. It's just restaurants and bars. What else is closed? Any just stuff inside, like restaurants and bars, really. Bowling alleys, movie theaters, and these kind of things. I don't think they're opening any of that stuff. I think they're just allowing outdoor seating at restaurants.
Wow.
Still cold. It's cold in a lot of California still, I think. It's January.
Yeah, but it could be a lot nicer. Sometimes it's a lot nicer this time of year. We're having like a real, I mean, it's rainy. It rained today. Here in L.A., it rained today, and it's cold and everything. So it's not that great. People will still go. I mean, you can still sit outside, put a jacket on, and sit outside at a restaurant in L.A., though. It's not that cold. And not compared to you guys. I always feel sorry for you guys. I don't want to complain about the cold, but I'm on a phone with a Canadian, dude. You know what I mean? That's just not right. But
it's cold today. Yeah, it's fine today.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah, you got to go out.
Well, as long as you're moving, it's okay. -7 going to -15 tonight. Benoit knows what that means.
Yes.
Bad.
But, for me, that's only number. We never go that low in Geneva.
No. Well, you're lucky. The mountains protect you.
Yes, exactly.
But so it's colder in Canada than Switzerland, yeah?
Oh, definitely.
Yep.
In most places.
Well,
because, of course,
Canada's a very big place.
Yes,
Canada's a very, very, very big place. I live
in one
of the warmer areas of Canada in the winter, I think. I think we're pretty good here in Toronto compared to everywhere else. The West Coast is warmer always, right on the water, that is, the coast, Vancouver, Victoria, but right in the... There's no other cities that are much warmer in the winter, let's put it that way. So...
Yeah, and doesn't 90% of Canadians live within 100 miles of the U.S. border?
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's why when they integrate the two countries, there's not a hell of a lot of a difference between the northern states and where most Canadians live. So, not a lot of difference. That's why I think the simulation is similar in the mega regions of America 2050. So Michigan, New York State, Ontario, they're in one mega region in the future map on North America, so they're going to get treated the same way by this PSYOP, I think. I think that's the idea. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Same people.
So if Michigan opens up in some way, then I would expect Ontario to do the same because we do a lot of trading. We used to anyway, over the border, so it doesn't make sense for the two lands to be different if you think that the virus doesn't respect the border.
Yeah, what are they allowing? Just trucks, like commerce, but not visitors,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Yeah, unless the country's gonna close down all commerce and everything to try and fight the virus, then what are they gonna eat? What are you gonna trade? Like, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? It's like, just open it all up. This is fake. Open it up, man. It's a stupid psyop.
It just depends on, I think they just measure the pulse of the population, and if they believe it, then they're gonna continue with the plans to crush the economy down to the ground and then rebuild it with all the regulations they drool over. I think that is the plan.
That's crazy.
That is the plan.
It is.
If you believe the Great Reset is what they want to do, it's a big job. And it only falls apart when people stop believing. And I don't see any evidence of that yet. I just don't.
No, there's no resistance to this end of the neck of the woods, that's for sure. If I tried to give up any resistance around here, I'd just lose my house, lose my job, lose everything. If I tried to resist at all, they got it sewn up.
Maybe. Yeah, Jan Erik, go ahead.
I said all revolutions are sort of a reset, like the French Revolution and the Russian one. They reset the society, but you just go one turn around and you're back where you started, just with new face on it.
Yes, I would agree that
have it any better.
Yes, I will agree that it's when the economical conditions are unsustainable for the lower class to live that the revolution happened in most cases.
Well, is the middle class the lower class now?
Not really,
the middle class
that matters.
The middle class are the ones doing the revolution, but it's run from the top, anyways.
Yeah, always. That's true. But they are, the lower middle class, they're just crushing them right now, I think. See, they want communism for the lower middle class. The universal basic income. Yeah.
Fascism on top.
Which is exactly what is described in the Goldstein sub-book in 1984 from George Orwell.
This,
you get the lower class that want to take the place of the superior class, and it creates a lower class that then want to take the place of the higher class. And it's a perpetual cycle of infighting.
That book is more relevant than ever now.
Yes, it always has. Definitely.
Published in 1948. That book,
yes, exactly.
The book was supposed to, it was really named 1948, but the publisher said no, so he just turned the numbers around and made it 84, and then he could publish it, which is interesting.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The only reason? That was the only reason that they didn't use 1948? He just didn't think it should use the current year?
It was, if you think of it, it's really a description of how society is more than how it's going to be. So that's why you wanted to have it in the future, I guess. There's a lot of truth in that book, which was as true in 1948 as it is today. But now it's more overt than covert. So.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's not my favorite book from George Orwell, to be honest. My favorite one, and it's not even Animal Farm, it's Down and Out in London and Paris.
No, I haven't read it.
What's that about?
About the terrible life that allegedly Eric Blair lived while he was in Paris, in London, during his life.
Oh.
He was living in those homeless shelter, he was barely getting by, it was a terrible life. And he described it with great talent in his book, so I don't know if there is any truth to it, obviously, but it's a great book anyway.
He wrote a book which was called Wigan Pier or something, which is supposed to be good. I haven't read it.
Oh. I've listened in audiobook on his book about the Civil War in Spain.
Must be an interesting read. He found out that there, two sides were cooperating on top, and then he lost his will to go on in Spain, and then he left.
Well, he was more or less expelled, if you want. Because apparently he sided with the wrong faction I don't exactly know the denomination, but there was something like the PUM and the PAF or something like that, and they were in fighting. At one point, he took side with the wrong camp, and he was thrown gently, but he was thrown out of Spain.
Well, the people on top were on all sides. In the Russian Revolution, they had three sides, and it was rather a coincidence, I guess, who won it. Anyhow, the people on top would have come out to the winner anyways.
Exactly. But in the conspiracy circle, it's a thing that allegedly Eric Blair was a British intelligence agent all along, and that's why he was in Spain in the end.
Yeah, that sounds close.
They seem to say that about everybody. They said Hitler was an intelligence agent too, so it seems to be just an easy thing to say and not prove.
Uh-huh. And that explained a lot of things without making any effort of reflection.
Yeah.
So interesting character, this Eric Blair, but I really don't know if what he wrote that was kind of autobiographic has any truth to it, really.
It's hard to know.
Yes, but everything is on
really
audiobooks,
is.
By the way.
Where do you get your audiobooks?
It depends, but most of the time I use Torrent to get them.
Are they all? Do they make a torrent just for one audiobook, or are they all lumped together?
No, most of the time it's a bibliography of a writer.
Oh, okay.
But you
yeah,
know it works.
Good.
You get the magnet link, and you can only download the file that you want. So if you only want one specific book, you don't get a bother with the rest, really.
Yeah, no, that's good. No, that's fine.
And there are books that are difficult to find on paper, but you can find an audio version pretty easily. The Illuminatus trilogy, for example. I have some difficulty finding a cheap copy online at the time, but I did find it on audiobook very easily.
Yeah. But I don't really read either very well, so I should probably do what you do, is just get an audiobook so I can just try and listen. But that website Jan Erik, I think, gave us, b.ok.cc, it's got most of the PDF digital books. It's really good. Did you give that link to me, Jan Erik?
No. I cannot get that website to work on my computer now.
Oh, okay. It was someone else then. Because Marcus recommended Nudge by Cass Sunstein. Have you seen that book?
I found it, I think. But I couldn't...
Remind me of who that person is, Cass Sunstein. The name is familiar, but when you say the name, I hear it in Alex Jones' voice for some reason.
Yeah, that's right. He's just a... He was... what was he? He was some kind of American thinker or... Basically, was just discussing how to control crowds. Propaganda.
High level minion of some sort. Yeah.
Was he in the CFR or something? He was just a...
I'm not sure.
You have to look him up. I can't remember what his profile is. But yeah, you're right. Alex Jones would be yelling about him, talking about how he helped manipulate the population, propaganda. All the things we like to talk about.
All the things that people talked about before him also.
Yeah.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And thank you, Purple Play, and quite a few donors in the last little bit. Thanks a lot, everyone. I really appreciate it. It's fun to get donations, and hopefully it'll be even easier with Podcasting 2.0. That's coming along quickly, and I hope it works. So That'll be really interesting to see. There's so much great content out there, though, so really hard to compete now. But we have a bit of a niche at Fakeologist where we talk about only certain topics, and that's what tries to make us stand out from everybody else. Man, the content out there is just great. I'm having a great time. I feel sorry for the people that only know about mainstream media, because just the individual creators are so good. And Jan Erik is constantly feeding me creators that I never heard of. I can't even keep up. It's impossible, isn't it, Jan Erik? Uh-oh. Am I good? 2212?
No, I'm here. I just need to push the talk on my phone, so, yeah.
All right, good. That's good. Hey, you're loud and clear. You got Jan Erik, Lost Spider, got Rolls-Royce Radio, Rolo Skylarkin. I got about 5 minutes left.
Want to hear something crazy?
Go ahead.
So I had to get put under for, well, I had to get put out for a surgery. So
I
had to go in the morning. Yeah, I went and got the COVID test in the morning, tested negative. I got to go in and get my surgery. Dude, they still made me wear a mask in there, in the surgery room. And then, get this, man, I'm going to post a picture of it right now. Get this. They put the oxygen mask over my face, and I said, are you really going to put this over the medical mask? And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. It worked fine. Dude, I took a selfie of myself with the medical, with the oxygen mask over a medical mask, dude. I couldn't believe they made me, they didn't take the mask off me for a surgery, you know?
Are they real doctors? Because it doesn't even make sense. Like, a real doctor should not be doing this. This is crazy.
Right?
It's amazing. Oh, my goodness. This really makes me worried to ever go near a hospital again, because not only are they going along with it, a lot of them, the majority, but doing stupidity like that, that really makes me afraid of what they're doing in there.
No, believe me, last time I got put under, I got to go back to the hospital the next day and get put under again, so... I'm a firm believer that you should stay as far as you can from any type of hospital if it's
not something
that is very, very important for your life to be done on you.
Yeah, I wanted this. This was not a very invasive thing, but I don't think it's the doctor either, man, because when I go, I met with the doctor first before the surgery. He told me that I needed the surgery. He did not wear a mask. He had his mask under his nose, and then he was walking around. He was the only guy, in the whole surgery center, was my doctor was walking around without a mask on. Everybody else, I think it's the minions that forced everybody to wear the mask, and they can't tell a doctor what to do, so they can't tell him to wear a mask. But my doctor was the only dude who didn't wear a mask at all. Except for it, I had surgery, I think he did, but they always do anyway, right?
Yes.
That's where you need.
The only real one of the room.
Right.
You've done studies that say the mask is not effective even for surgeons. That does not prevent, it's not been proven to prevent any kind of infection or any transmission of anything. So that's more craziness.
Yes, and for those of us that believe in God, in the end, if God is on your side, the guy can spit on an open wound and nothing will happen.
Right. From what I've read and looked into a little bit about masks is, I don't know where they're getting all these frickin' pictures of, the Spanish flu from, 1918 with all these people wearing masks. They did not wear masks in surgery until the 30s, until the 1930s. They didn't even wear them in surgery. I don't know if you guys have heard that.
Yeah, the picture
is
great.
Oh,
really?
Are we talking CGI?
But that's good info.
Why would they were making people wear masks in 1918 just to go out? Yet they didn't make you wear one, a surgeon wear a mask until the 1930s.
But what about that article about Fauci and that the mask caused the pneumonia? Can you hear
I'll
me?
Have to check
we don't
that
hear
out.
About that.
Yeah, you
yeah,
sound
don't
great.
Hear about that, but I know about that. I've heard that.
I have
sense.
An article. I have
is...
the article. I thought I posted
yeah, I agree.
It.
Well... Well, you probably did, but the bacteria that's in your mouth goes on your mask, and then you got to breathe deeply because you got a mask on and you're not getting all the air, and then you're sucking that bacteria deep into your lungs, and it causes infection because it would normally never make its way down there.
Well, yeah, I totally agree too, but if that, I mean, it kind of makes it seem that that wasn't really true then. What, I mean, how could they know everybody was wearing
it? I think that in that case, Rollo got this secret. Because Rollo is always containing a decent level of alcohol, so it's always sterile, if you know what I mean. There is no bacteria that can develop in that man, in that sense. He can whoever he wants, he will have no issue.
Yeah. He has bacteria in his bun, in his mouth.
Well, unless it's alcohol-loving bacteria, he has plenty of the alcohol bacteria. Dude, if you could grow bacteria in a diesel tank, you could grow bacteria in Rollo's gut.
So are you saying we should uptick the alcohol intake?
That was my
point. So he's got to feed the bacteria, the alcohol bacteria. They're probably stealing a bunch of his alcohol from him, so he needs to drink more.
No, I mean the rest
of us. I don't like
if
drinking.
We know you're heading out tonight.
Go party, yeah. They opened up for you?
They said the bar was open tonight, so why not?
I just figure it's like going to be like New Year's where all the amateurs are out there at the bars, like making everything all crowded, and the real alcoholics just got to stay home, you know, like that day.
No, that's good. It's like crikey. They've been closed since like what? Like, I don't know. Is it sometime in December? Like almost more than a month for sure. I don't remember when they closed it, but seems like it's been a long time.
You better enjoy it while you can, because they're going to shut it down again shortly, I'm sure of it.
I'm out on my walk right now. If you can hear too much noise, let me know.
They're just letting off the pressure a little bit, and then they squeeze hard again.
So they could make it even worse, maybe? So you think they're just going to make it even worse? Like, oh, we tried, and now the hospitals are overwhelmed. Oh,
no,
my gosh.
But I did read the newspaper in Geneva, for example, today. And they were mentioning the warmth of the public and everyone toward the COVID pass for travel, for everything. So clearly we know what it is edging, but it's like Jan-Erik was saying. I think that they are letting us loose a little bit like they are doing this summer, like they were doing this summer. But it's going to be worse after that.
Oh, you guys are
They're just
full of sunshine.
They're doing it because they can get away with it. That's the
set. Yes, but it's a slow boil.
There's a lot of stuff on the Telegram that came across in the last couple of days that are just very, very depressing. That's making me feel like I got to go to the bar now.
Yeah.
Oh, to get your jollies off. You know, I don't go to the bar that much anyway, but. But it's like, what is closed and what is closed anyway that they're going to open? Just bars and restaurants? Is that the only change, right?
That's what I'm gathering, yeah. I mean,
it's for outdoor seating. Isn't it outdoor seating only? Outdoor only, right?
Probably. It's probably too cold for eating, but the bar, they have their lights, their warming lamps out there. And people are very... They don't care about the... If you're going to drink, the coolness doesn't matter.
It'll warm you up.
Oh, yeah.
You're numb.
If there's any way, some people just want to go out and, meet a girl, meet a guy, go out and meet.
Exactly. Go out and party.
It has always been the case.
Get out
for
some social interaction, crying out
loud. I mean, even in the worst of winter, you could always see girls wearing skirts outside on the street on the weekend. So... It has been done. It can be done again.
If I was 19 right now this weekend, I'd probably be taking a 12-pack of beer and going up to the hills with my friends to have a fire and you know, up in the mountains or something. We didn't mind the weather. But now I'm 47, I'm like, oh, I don't care if the restaurants are opening right now. I'll wait a couple, you know, a week or so until I go because
nice
I don't want to...
You got a nice house.
Yeah. And it's not crowded. You know, it's not crowded. I don't want to go to a crowd. Yeah. I sit outside. Yeah, come on. I feel so sorry. Some of these restaurant owners, I feel so sorry for them.
Well,
but if they would have stayed open and I didn't have to wear a mask there, I would be there. If I didn't have to wear a mask there, and if they stayed open inside or whatever, I would go support them.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
I think they get fined too much. I just think that me buying a little meal every once in a while wouldn't offset the fines. But who knows?
Well, there was an article in our newspaper that they've appointed some, I don't know who this person is, where they came from or what, but they appointed someone to be in charge of helping all the businesses to get back on track and, you know, somehow get them going again or something. I don't know. It's just like, okay, how about just letting them work, for crying out loud? Let them open up without your damn regulations. How's
yes.
that for a start? Why do you need to get somebody to...
Government control. Government control. Government oversight.
Yep.
Government oversight like over people leisure.
Again, I come and add even more bullshit for them to
definitely,
you know, adhere to. And
I think people have Stockholm syndrome to want the government to do anything for them. The government never does anything good. The government just screws everything up.
Exactly.
They screw up freedom, and then but people will say, "Oh, well, what do you mean? Like, who's going to build the roads, or who's going to do that?" You know, it's just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal to me that people.
Which is incredible because in most cases, roads have people name in some rural places because those people make the road. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
We got the dirt road.
Government road or whatever.
Well, yeah, we were just talking about, you know, because there was another, when we had our little heat wave, they had another little uptick in fires. And basically, you know, the firemen come and, because there was this, my mechanic has a cabin up there. And he said the firemen, they were all there because they called him up in the middle of the night. And so he had to go over and check on his place and, they were all there, and they had their hoses, and they were, like, pretty much doing the work themselves. And the firemen came, and they're like, oh, you guys are doing good, you know, and then they just left. So it's not like they even go and, like, take care of you. Uh-oh, what's going
yes.
on here?
Yes, but that's how it is. If someone is getting beat up on the street, people will call the cops and think that they have done the right thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm always happy. If I hear somebody evade taxes somehow, I'm always so happy for them. I'm like, you are so, like, good for you. Good for you, man. I would never tell on somebody for getting away with something from the government. I think we should all do it.
Tell me their secret.
What is, I have, like, a very regulated job. I kind of screwed up when I was young. I wish I did something else for a living to where I could do something unregulated. But I have a very regulated job, man, so the government knows everything I do at work.
Well, that's what they're trying to get rid of, I think.
Yeah.
Like, any person right now who, in this pandemic thing, who was a contractor or a independent worker, and, you know, when they said, okay, everybody's got to stay home, they're not getting paid. They are getting screwed.
Yes.
Because they're
but
not
you can always find
umbrella.
Some undocumented people or... unregistered people don't have a company, but that can do the job. So it's just stupid. They're just transferring part of the work that was for people that from the country to people that are less qualified and that will do a shitty job. So that's kind of stupid in that sense. It will not kill under the table money or all that. It will just transfer it to a different kind of people.
Yeah, and I think also... they never closed any construction down here. Like, construction was considered essential. And, which means plumbers, electricians, roofers, they all were never shut down. The thing about that is that the construction trails the economy. So, as everybody else has no money, then you can't hire a roofer, you can't hire an electrician. So they're gonna feel it later.
They did shut them down for like a couple of weeks. Like, but all the construction dudes said, fuck that shit, and they just went and did it anyway. There was nobody coming to, I mean, there was a few guys that, you know, they came around and they told them they had to stop, but for the most part, it only lasted, like I said, a couple of weeks, because those guys, if they don't work, they don't get paid, so they were not going to do it.
So the government said that the construction wasn't essential for a couple of weeks. I didn't even hear about that. I know in my trade, the elevator trade, construction never closed down, not one day.
Okay,
not one.
As far as
they were considered essential.
The same as the bullshit other stuff. It was a strong suggestion, and some people went.
Yeah, I mean, it was creepy in March when everything was like closed down, and I was like the only one on the road. I would drive by a construction site, and there'd be a bunch of construction workers working.
Well, we had a bunch of
open a hospital. I would go to work in my hospital. I would go in my hospital to work, and there was nobody there. The parking lots were empty. Non-essential hospital workers were at home, but construction workers were building condos. I kid you not. It's such a clown world, man.
Maybe it's because of the union.
Yes, the union guys had to stop, and I know my neighbor across the street. He was working in a steel mill kind of a job. I don't know, like, I don't really know exactly what it was, but I don't even know if he's gone back to work yet. It just depends on who you're working for. And if you were independent, there was nobody stopping you. Unless you thought you were going to be a good egg and do what they suggested. You know, like I said, they figured it out really quick. Like nobody's really, you know, enforcing this. So they went ahead, but then, and I think, like you said, there was kind of a little announcement of some sort that said, okay, they can go back, and it only lasted like 2 weeks. So, because a lot of people were mid project, you know, you couldn't just leave all that stuff sitting there.
Yeah. I know that I know that they actually took guys to get them out of service because a lot of the service like ended for the elevator industry. They put them in construction during a slow period to keep them working because construction was always open for us. My industry, they never shut construction down, not for one day. It was just crazy. Well, and I'm union, by the way. It would be union shop, union trade. But
you would think that like all those buildings that you're servicing, like is there people in them?
No, some of the buildings were closed. there was like the work really slowed down for the service. Like normally I have a route that I got to complete so many hours on each elevator by the end of the month. I got to get there, make sure everything's running okay and fix any parts that are broken. And then hold on.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Jeff
Van
Dude,
Laura Marsh,
The Phoenician,
Julio Caprius, Trimmy.
Woo!
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
That's awesome. Is that one of Bill's sets?
Must be. He makes
that
it all.
That was great.
He does all the good stuff. But it was creepy when, like, in March or April, like, the hospital didn't want me there doing anything that wasn't essential. So that only they called me only when an elevator was actually broken, not to come in and do my monthly service. A lot of any of the commercial buildings, if the elevators were even on, like, some people ignored it, though. Like, some jobs, I was like, I would go, there'd be, like, 30 people in an office and nobody'd be wearing masks and stuff like that. I'd be like, whoa, everybody here is, they ignored it. And I was like, this is cool, man. I don't have to wear a mask here. Yay. But that ended. That eventually ended. Like somebody must have tattletailed on him. Or
somebody
something
came
happened,
and got
yeah.
him, probably.
Yeah.
Well,
and then
I know,
next thing you know, everybody's wearing masks and half the people are gone working from home or whatever they had to do, you know?
Yeah. I have a friend who, she's a law secretary, legal secretary, and she worked in the, it's in downtown L.A. in the, I think it used to be the Crocker building. I don't know if they changed names, but I'm sure you know the buildings. They're spider.
Which one? What was it called?
It used to be called the Crocker building. There was three. They're brown and they're kind of like skinny. They have a weird skyline look to them, like they're really thin.
No, in L.A.?
In downtown. Do you remember
downtown
the Bonaventure Hotel?
Uh-huh. Yeah. That has the outdoor elevators on that one.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's been working there for many years, but so they closed that down. They had a big office staff there, and they were not back to work until, I don't even know if they're back yet or not, but they did close everything down. It was just nobody was there. So that was back in March. I haven't talked to her recently to see if they've gone back, but non-operational. Hello? I lose everybody?
Still there. It's different in every places, but I try to not keep much track of it, really. In my country, in my specific town, or whatever. It is what it is. And in the end, most of the time, they tell me what is the score of the game, if you want. Like the other day, someone told me that now it's not possible to wear a scarf or whatever over your face, that you have to put a mask on because the police and everything. And I said what I always said, which is thank you very much, and I continued my day, but... That's why I keep track. It's people that told me what is happening, really.
Well, they had a big smear campaign against gaiters, you know, those things you kind of just pull up over your face. I don't know how they figured that, oh, they were so bad. I mean, they had this whole thing about, you know, showing the spray coming out of your mouth and, you know, all that nonsense that they seem to think that that's scientific, quote-unquote. But for some reason, yeah, what's the deal? Why are the gators so demonized?
I don't know. It's stupid to do it. But, like, sometimes you get to do it and it is what it is. But you can buy a gator that is COVID compliant if you want. Those type of things exist.
Okay, so they cannot make any claims that, because all those paper masks, when you get them, like I said, my lovely sister sent me masks for Christmas as a Christmas gift. Gotta love her. And in the package, it said clearly inside the paperwork, it does not protect against COVID. I mean, they're covering their butts. They have to. Hello?
Yes. Yes, it's what everywhere. It's not a medical device. And the fact that they are calling it a surgical mask,
I haven't used the mask yet.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But even on television, they used to say, you know, when they would advertise those paper things, I haven't seen one lately, but it used to have down in the corner, you know, something about some disclaimer about COVID. It's like, but then again, if it doesn't really exist, I mean, I don't know.
Of course it doesn't protect against COVID because there is no COVID.
Because there's no COVID, right?
So it's correct what is on there. it doesn't protect it from the Black Plague either.
And the common cold. Well, it's like you said about the vaccine that they're the new vaccine that they're talking about. It's basically adapted from a regular cold virus or whatever. I have to pull it out and read it again, but I was just laughing. I couldn't.
It's just a rebranding of the influenza.
There
is no virus.
And
they have never isolated the virus ever.
Right.
No virus.
So,
ever.
Because they can.
Exactly.
No, it's just fiction. It's not reality. People cannot distinguish between fiction and reality anymore, so they can get away with anything, really, nowadays.
Yes, that would be like finding a drop of blood in your car and taking the stem that you died somehow.
Yes.
Which is completely insane.
But actually, that part I would like, because it would be so easy to fake my own death.
Yes. I think that it's done in the end. You get a pool of your own blood somehow, put it somewhere, and... Your wife wait 5 years or so, and then she get the money.
It's Dr. Pasterklok on the call.
Hey! I've been
Hello,
waiting
guys.
For him to come online.
Can you hear me? Hello, can
you
hear
you.
Me?
Yes.
Wow.
Pasterklok.
I pulled it off.
Woo-hoo. I love that name, by the way.
Me and him have something in common. Me and him have something in common.
I'm sorry, I just now dropped into the call, so... I don't know what you guys were talking about, but...
I think we're ready
I'm
for
here,
a new,
I'm
a new
here
subject.
Now.
Perfect timing.
Yes.
Okay.
How are you doing? Where are you traveling to these days? Are you still traveling, or has the COVID taking control of your life.
Oh, COVID has done a number on me, but I am traveling. I am in southwest Arizona near Quartzsite, Arizona, and I'm camping with some folks out in the desert, and it's lovely, and the weather is perfect, and I'm trying not to worry about COVID or any of the mainstream media. It just doesn't seem to exist out here, so it's lovely.
Good for you.
I always enjoyed your stories of being out on the road.
Yeah, the road is you never know what might happen, so that's the road for you.
And all your good stories of people just being people and not worrying about all this other system bullshit.
There's plenty of BS out there for everyone, so if you can drive away from it, that's great.
Yeah, there was a story somewhere about Slab City. I can't remember, or I don't know if they actually called it Slab City, but I can't remember. But I was just like thinking, hey, that sounds like Slab City. Now I can't remember. Sorry.
I've been to Slab City a couple of times. It's near. I'm less than 100 miles away, I think, from Slab City. It's near Nyland, California, and it's the site of a former, I think it was a Marine base, decades ago, and they still have a proving grounds on the other side of the mountains if you go to Slab City, which is like a kind of an artistic community. There's this big piece of folk art called Salvation Mountain where they've painted the mountain, and there's like a big cross and stuff, and then there's all kinds of sketchy people that are, and anyway, the Marine base, the former site of the base had a bunch of slabs. They poured flat cement slabs, and that's all that's left of the base. So if you have an RV and you want to go someplace nice for the winter, the weather is very nice and you can park there. But there's a big arts community. There's all kinds of artistic exhibits and stuff. But then there's sketchy people too. And so you never know. So if you're looking for like a random experience, that's a good place to go. I would recommend going in the winter and going in the daytime. So
when it's not so hot, yeah. Well, I imagine it's getting a lot of visitors these days.
Yeah, it's a cool place to visit. So I wish I could, I should put up some pictures or something. There's all kinds of very kind of anti-society kind of art exhibits and things like multiple TV screens with things written in the middle of the screens.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of it's an inspirational place, and then there's a lot of people that play music there. There's a big stage. There's just people come together to fly their freak flag, as they say.
Sure, why not?
So I know I've been listening to some of the calls. I'm not sure who exactly is here because I just kind of randomly press the Discord button and I see who's here. I see Benoit's here, and I don't know what were you guys talking about before I stumbled into the technology here.
Well, I would tell you who all's here, but I'm on a walk on my phone, and I can't see somebody else there can read off who's in the chat.
Ben, I see everyone. I see all those people. Purple, you're Purple Play. Are you Purple Play?
I'm Purple Play.
Okay.
And I'm relatively new.
I've been listening to you, Purple Play. Is Rolo lurking about somewhere?
He's muted.
Actually.
Oh, did he get muted again? I'm sorry.
Oh.
I like Rolo. I think you should.
That person is self-muted.
Oh, okay. Well. So you might have to mute me at some point, so.
Well,
I don't think so. I always enjoyed your conversations with our Chris. We're all missing Chris.
I miss Chris too.
I used to be in the call with Chris previously, if you remember. You heard the old ones.
I've been. It's hard for me to listen to the old ones. I'd listened to a few of them, but after what happened, I'm gonna go back and listen. I know there's all kinds of, and I'm glad they're available to listen to, and I've listened to some of them. So
yeah, they're still on talk.
So yeah,
the website is down. Yes.
Stitcher, is there something called Stitcher that has his calls?
Maybe. Yeah, there would be around on the internet.
And I've downloaded quite a few of them. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum.
Oh. Exactly.
I think I still have some on iPod or Apple Podcast, whatever.
Yeah, I think you can find them on iTunes still, maybe.
iTunes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I'm just sitting out here in the desert. There's a Schoolie Palooza is going to happen here in a couple days. That's where all the people that have purchased old school buses and converted them into mobile dwellings. They all kind of meet up and do their hippie thing. And this is a good place for it out in the desert. It's like nice and flat. There's good places to park and nobody comes and messes with you. I think everything's on. It's BLM, but not the BLM people are talking about. It's the Bureau of Land Management.
Right.
And they don't seem to be like on top of things, especially. So if you ever want to come out,
go ahead. The BLM was launched in the 30s, was it not?
I think so.
The BLM?
Yeah.
That's when they used to have the festivals in Vegas, right? On BLM at land.
Yeah, under the presidency of FDR, I guess.
Burning Man is in Nevada. I'm not sure how close it is to Vegas, but it's out Black Rock, I think it's called. And I've never been, but some friends of mine have been. I think there's some countercultural people that have been around for years and years. Like there's hippies. They have a deal with the Forest Service, so they can have a 4th of July national gathering, several thousand people in the forest with kind of an informal arrangement with the Forest Service. And then there's all the music festivals that have been going on for years and years, and they're just all out of luck. I think if all those people that have been working at the music festivals and have been attending music festivals, they could come out to they could go west, and we could find a place to have some nice music going on. I'm a musician, so I like to hang out with the folks. And then there's, what else is there? There's the, it's hashtag van life. People, kind of like the retired people, the snowbirds, they've retired, and so they sold their house and they bought an RV, a recreational vehicle, a mobile home. And so they just kind of chase the climate. Like they call it chasing 70 degrees. So you can spend the winter down in Arizona, and then you can drive a few, like if you drive up near a Flagstaff or up in the mountains, just a few hours away, you can spend the summer there. And it's a lifestyle for retired people, but lately it's been more of a lifestyle for working age people as well. And there's all these YouTube and Instagram. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but people fix up their cargo vans or their Sprinter vans, and then they make it into a lifestyle. And I think between the van lifers and the hippies and the former festival workers, I think if we all just got together out in the desert, we could have events. We could just hang out and try to get away from all of we call it Babylon sometimes, if just referring to the cities and society and things. So if you can get away from clocks and bills and all the things that people worry about, there's just vast stretches of land all out there, and you can just go out there and create your own happy culture.
Exclave.
Is that exclave? I don't know, but we don't have any
Marcus,
drones or anything.
Have you heard Marcus? Is it exclave, or did I get that wrong?
I should get together with Marcus.
Yeah, no, it's definitely exclave. Hello.
I'm thinking like the more primitive version of exclave, like just the living in your minivan kind of exclave.
Yeah, I think Marcus wants a little more creature comfort. At least that's what I understand.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Amen.
Hi, God. Hi,
I think
Jan.
I ate both of those pills is my problem.
That is why it's purple, yes.
I ate the purple pill. I just said,
that's
and then
a good
he had
idea.
Like a whole, he had a whole bottle of pills back there. I just like stole them and just like downed them all. So
we should make
that's
a purple
my problem.
Pill. Oh wait, there is a purple pill. It's the some pharmaceutical that has purple pill. Never mind.
Hey, Dr. Foster Clark. Good to hear your voice. Listen.
Who is that?
Can you hear me? It's me. It's Rick.
Oh, Rick. Hello, Rick.
Oh, hi there. Yeah, good.
Hi,
Rick.
Hear your voice
what's up,
well.
Rick and Dr. Foster Clark?
Come on, buddy.
Hey.
Come on.
Dr. Foster Clark, I used to big fan. I used to listen to your Hoaxbusters calls with Chris. Fantastic.
Yeah, we had a good time on the calls.
They were great.
Great stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and it's good to hear you continuing your freedom life and your RV or your truck or whatever you got, van.
Well, I wrecked my van. I've had to downsize to a minivan, so.
Mm.
But it's good. I think I like it better.
How did the lockdowns affect you then? Were you affected or did you manage to escape everything?
I have escaped everything.
Excellent.
So, in Oklahoma City, I play the viola, I played in the orchestra, and that's all been put on hold for the most part. And,
yeah,
my whole family is cuckoo for the cocoa, so I'm just gonna like make appearances for holidays and try not to.
I think we're all in that boat.
We're all in the same club there,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Everyone's cuckoo.
We can relate.
Cuckoo for cocoa, that's for sure.
It's a surreal situation to be in.
Oh, yeah, it is. And it's like when I was in a bar, pub in Sydney a while ago, and I said to this friend, I said, it's like we're in a dream. We're dreaming, but we're actually awake while we're dreaming because everyone's sitting. Everyone has to sit down. Everyone's got the bar staff are all masked up. You're not allowed to stand up and talk. You have to sit down and talk. It's just absolutely bizarre.
Well, lucid dreams are supposed to be good, right?
Yeah. This one ain't good. It ain't good.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, it is, and it's to hold on to your sanity in these days is Alan Watt, the great Alan Watt says, is the most important thing, and that's what you got to do. You've just got to keep sane. And not lose it.
I've got a pretty good plan for keeping sanity because everything's normal out here in the desert. If I'm camping out in the desert and there's like some nice folks around, I don't think anything bad can happen. I don't see them like coming to get us or anything. So
COVID only exists in the fucking media. It doesn't exist out in
in reality. Switch off. You have to just switch off. And which I did a long time ago, switch off the news and switch off TV and just don't be a part of it and stay separate because it's a you're not part of that world and you've got to stay out of it.
It's a great world because it's the OFF network and there's not any, it's totally free and it's like 360 super HD everything and you've got smell-o-vision and taste-o-vision. And everything, and all you have to do is is there's a button on every device. If you want to turn off mainstream media, or you can just crush it with the heel of your boot or something if you want to, but that tunes you straight into the OFF network, and there's plenty to be seen. I mean, it's been underrealized for a long time. So as soon as people realize that the OFF network is available for free, then they're going to just flock to the super reality TV that's available to them through their eyeballs.
Yeah, I like what Elvis did to his TV. I think there's a lot of symbolism in that, you know, with a magnum just put a hole right through the center of it.
What is the abbreviation OFF?
it's off because you turn it off.
Turn it off.
The OFF network, yeah.
Okay, now I got it.
Hey, doctor.
Don't need a horse with no name.
I like those jokes that people get later. Those are the best times.
Buster Cluck, what desert are you living in? Where are you living? What desert?
I am in, it's called the Skadden Wash, and it is just south of Quartzsite, Arizona. And it's lovely. It's clear. They're not spraying us today at all. It's a lovely day, and it's about 64 degrees at the time, I think.
Oh,
so
cool. Nice.
It's nice. I like it.
Yeah, the spraying.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I'm just saying that spraying is a real constant up and where I am. You know, the not every day, but when they do it, they really, really do it. You know, it's quite obvious. And yes, and I was driving my son into a small regional area the other day, and I was looking up and I pointed and I said, "Have a look at that." And there's a big white line to our left. And there underneath it is the little, you can see the plane going back to do another one with nothing coming out of it, no exhaust, no nothing, flying directly underneath that one, and it comes back and does another one. You know, if I'd had the nous to get out and film it, it's quite obvious that these aren't contrails at times, they are spraying something. And, I mean,
they'll fly for hours. They'll spread out. They'll be up there for hours, right? It's like some of those trails. And a jet will fly by once in a while where the trail only stays for seconds and it disappears.
Yeah, there's different types. There's very, very obviously different types. There's ones where they do a different, they spray one lot and then another one will come and do another one on a different side and it mixes in like a, obviously they're two volatile chemicals and they mix them in and then they spread out. So there's all sorts of different.
My son has been way into like trying to figure out how chemtrails work and all that stuff. But there's no chemtrail like channel on this. I guess you could put it in general on the Discord, but there's no channel for chemtrails. That surprised me.
No, there is, because Ab does not like them at all. It's like he does not like them at all. Even though Marcus Allen is 100% on the spraying, Ab's not a big fan of it. So consequently, that's why if you do want to put it, just go to Off Topic, which is down the bottom there, which I put a lot of stuff on.
Also, alchemical hustle might be relevant to that topic.
Okay, exactly, yeah. There's a lot of people that are aware of them, and then there's the people that just say that's just rubbish. But I'm not saying they're out to kill you, but they're definitely modifying the weather. And
I'm looking at
they just want to sterilize everybody.
I just don't want to catch, what was the name? Morgellon. I just don't want to catch that.
Can I tell you that, like, where I live, one of the most renowned doctors of who specializes in what's the disease you get from ticks? Lyme's disease, L-Y-M-E-S, right? Now, in Australia, they deny that exists. There's a big, like, if you are a doctor and you say that you specialize in Lyme disease, so he got threatened to, and he's in that area, I should go and try and talk to him, he was threatened that they'd remove his doctor's practice if he mentioned it ever again. Because where I live is Lyme's disease capital of Australia. It's absolutely everywhere because I'm in a rainforest. And it's beautiful area. But The ticks are everywhere. I haven't had one on me, but I've pulled them off lizards. I've pulled them off cats. It's a big thing. And what happens if you get stung multiple times, you are a big likelihood of getting Lyme's disease, which is an autoimmune condition, which definitely came out of Plum Island in America. And they admit that. In America, it's an admitted thing, but here, you're not allowed to talk about it. It's like it doesn't exist. But interestingly,
in Ireland, that is for sale right now.
Yeah, it is for sure. Now, do you know the history of that island? The original history has been deleted off the internet, and you've got to go back onto the Wayback Machine or whatever it's called. I call it the Wayback Machine, yeah. There's a great...
They're deleting it? I better download it.
Oh, man. No, listen, it's probably too late, but there's a show called Conspiracy Oz, and he's an Alan Watt fan, and he's been going for quite a while, and he's not right about everything, but he's very good at research, and so he did a whole thing on Plum Island, and so it was originally traded by the guy that bought it off the Indians that lived there. But he gave them a big bunch of fish hooks, right, for the island. And the other thing he gave them was a transgendered Indian race of people that they were brought up as male. They were kind of like, they were a slave, but they were like a eunuch, but they were bred as male, female, or there's something about, there's a name of these particular tribe of Indians that raised boys as girls and girls as boys. And this guy traded 50 of these slaves and a big bunch of fish hooks to the tribe that originally owned Plum Island. And that got deleted completely off the internet on Wikipedia. But he went back and he found the original one on the Wayback Machine. So I'll try and research it and come up with a name, but it was a very unusual story. And that whole thing, that base definitely was fucking around with breeding big ticks. And they accidentally allegedly got released by...
Oh, my God.
Was it ducks or... I think it was ducks or something or other ended up spreading
deer.
It down. Deer or ducks, yeah, deer. But something begins with D, that's cute, spread it down further down the river. But anyway, the same doctor, I noticed, he also specialised in Morgellons. And I thought that was just a conspiracy. Like, I really thought that. That's a bit unusual. But have you seen the footage of those people that shine a light into their skin? And you can see these very fine black, what Ben Mayer was just talking about, the Morgellon. It's like a fibre that comes through the skin, causes itching. And he as a specialist, treated them and believed them, and he got threatened. He had to give up his practice, so he doesn't practice anymore. But I just thought that's quite interesting about mentioning Morgellons. I think that might be a thing.
What was that guy who did the book Communion? He was Art Bell's buddy.
Whitney Strieblett.
He did a whole thing on that.
Yeah, now he's extremely dodgy because he was another London School of Economics graduate like Mick Jagger and a bit, I suspect, MI6 or MI5, one of those guys, because he got paid huge sums of money to do the UFO alien greys and bits and pieces and back in the 80s. Another very interesting person to study his background, if you can these days.
There is a link between the London School of Economics and the Fabian Society, I think.
Oh, 100. Look, guaranteed. And formed, I think you'll find Sidney Webb or Nesta Webb had a lot to do with it. And they were the founders, allegedly, of the Fabians. But I think they were just front people, personally. But yeah, definitely. Very interesting subject.
Going back to an earlier topic.
Oh.
Does anyone think it's interesting that the bushfires in Australia that took place at temperatures that were quite low
were sprayed with aluminium, barium and strontium,
yes,
which is the exact ingredient of a sparkler. Just Google how do you make a homemade sparkler.
Exactly.
Barium, strontium and aluminium. And that's what I've said. The areas where they're spraying are over bushland. And the fires that we had here, and I'm living in... We were one of the worst fires in Australia. We had a fire that burned for 6 months non-stop. It's all beautiful now. But yeah,
that... Mismanagement of the bush, like they did...
Yes,
there was...
And they added that...
to add
that to
injury.
Yeah. Yeah, and then so the reason why they weren't doing controlled burn-offs is because the bush is so volatile with all the stuff sprayed on it that they couldn't control a natural burn-off. So that's what was happening. And they were all arson, and all the people, all the fires here.
I think it has to do with rewilding and the agenda 2030, these bushfires.
Well, I can only say,
I agree.
The media response was, "Oh, this is climate change, 100% climate change. We have to do this now." Like, that's like the most concrete, like, lead. This has been used for that. Must not be the source, but could be the source or connected to the source.
Yeah. Yes, it's been. It's pretty bad. Those bushfires that happened in Australia, the temperatures were like mid-30s at the most. That just hasn't happened in my lifetime until this year, last year.
Could it be that they're just clearing off land for high speed rail, like in California?
We've got the Frank knows about that. The same plans here up mid north coast. There's a line going to go through where they're burning. So yeah,
that's very convenient.
Coincidence or not? I say not. But also that what we had here in the south coast of New South Wales was an experiment. So when they burned, it was horrific. I have friends that were there at the time, and people were rounded up and put into camps. They said you can't go back to your home, and they interned. I think it was about 3,000 people in a small area for 5 to 10 days. They weren't allowed to go anywhere. And I think the petrol stations shut down. No one could use their cards. There was a cashless anything. Unless you had cash, you were done. The food stopped. The trucks couldn't get in there. So it was an organised, I'd say, a live action experiment of control that was pulled on Australians.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, like, we're seeing this a lot of situations currently. How easy, it seems like it's all a test run, how easily can we convince people to let go of that thing that is good for them, for the greater good, or in the current crisis you can't do that anymore.
Build back better, all the mantras that they're using have been used for years, it's the same, it's just, unless you're a student of history, and you've got some good books on Russian history, good books I'm talking about, and not internet Wikipedia researching, which is just not, it's a waste of time now, as far as I'm concerned. You just got to go and find some old books, or listen to Alan Watt podcast where he reads from those old books from back in 2008, and you get some great information about the methods they're using to push Agenda 2030 into action, which is, it's happening. I mean, there's no debate, really. I mean, does anyone really think that we're not going to be in smart cities in the next 5 years or 6 years? I think that's what they're going for.
Well, and I wanted to mention earlier about, like, the Wayback Machine and archiving. I think it's archive.today is better because they don't let people take down what they want to have taken down.
Well, the guy from Conspiracy Oz, I forget his name, Mick Raven. His name, it's not his real name, but he's very good. And what he said to do is go back and screenshot everything and save it, because you do need to screenshot what you're reading. If you think it's interesting, screenshot it and save it somewhere. It's the only way to keep the computer history, because it is slowly being. Why do they call the iReader Kindle, for God's sake? It's right in your face, and it's Kindle is what you start a fire with, and
burn the books.
Yeah, which is coming. And COVID, look at the libraries now. I mean, they've got to go to a library. You've got to put ID. You're only allowed in there for 25 minutes at a time. They're throwing all the good books out bit by bit. This is here in Australia.
Our libraries have been closed since March.
Okay.
No entrance at all.
Oh, that's terrible. So that was a really important place to go
research,
and do research.
Yes.
Yeah. So I used to go and read old newspapers. I'm a big old newspaper fan because I think you get some way better information. If you want to check out the weather patterns, you can get the, I think a lot of it's been put onto
Jonathan.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
You're going to get old news.
Only 22, only 22 were hours ago. Only 22 were hours ago.
I don't think, can you pull off a 27-hour one again? I doubt it.
It was too long.
It was brutal
trying to get through it all.
It's good if you want to go to sleep that night and you wake up through the night and you hear something different.
That's what happened to me.
I'm glad
I was on mute when I fell asleep, or I would have been snoring on it the whole time.
It's happened a few times. It's happened. It's a funny thing. But, yeah, no, I highly recommend, if you can go online and get the library microfiche, what do they call it? It used to be called microfiche, the scanned copies of old newspapers. But just go through and have a look at the temperatures on these days, particularly over here. I mean, I've got old newspapers here with massive, massive bushfires, way worse than they've had over the years. And they keep saying, oh, no, this is the worst we've ever had. There's nothing ever like this. It's unprecedented, that weasel word. But the temperatures here have been...
Even the weather news is fear porn. They're full of crap. There's nothing big going on right now.
Yeah, but they love to say that if you ever watch CNN weather and look at the background, it's bright red and it's flashing, the whole world, that the world is ending, and instead of saying it's a summer, nice summer, balmy summer, they call it's an intensive heat wave. And they give you lectures about, you need to take an umbrella so the sun doesn't burn you, and take a drink of water. You treat it like a 5-year-old, like you're telling your kid, and this is the National Weather News Service. It's just fucking ridiculous.
I found out that the way they measure the rising oceans, that the oceans are rising and that they're gonna wipe out the world like Chicken Little or something. The way they measure the oceans rising is with satellite laser altimeters. That's how they measure it. They don't go to the harbor master or anything and ask him if the sea's been rising or anything. It's all very scientific. So.
They have yearly, sometimes 150 years worth of harbor master records showing that, like, in most places, the sea hasn't risen more than like a few inches in the last 150 years.
They're not qualified.
It's actually gone the other way in Sweden, by the way. It's gone the other way in Sweden.
It's going down.
It's a censorship by omission, what they're doing.
It's like when they don't talk about, like, the shift in wind patterns, that's probably something that happens, like on a clock for the planets.
Yeah.
We are in a shift of the polarity of the poles for a while now, and the shift in the wind patterns that can be observed if one looks at the right data, that cannot be man-made, but that doesn't matter. It's good if you just focus on certain parts where unusual things happen, that it's very good for saying, oh, that's man-made climate change, because you don't want to think about the whole picture.
The censorship that Dutch, remember Dutch, did you ever see Dutch Sense, I think his name was, the weather guy, he used to use the satellite imagery, and he got censored and taken offline, this is 5 years ago, every time he put a site up, they'd delete him, and he got shadow banned, he had fake sites coming up with someone claiming to be him, but what he was saying was that this is all normal weather patterns, and he was using it to kind of correlate that this is where there's going to be an earthquake because of the heat's there, there's heat there, there should be an earthquake here. And he was 98% accurate most of the time. And he basically just got censored offline. And even now, it's very hard to find if he's still on there. Dutchsense, I think. Dutch Sense. He's some American dude. Good stuff, though. I really enjoyed his stuff.
Well, in the future, when there's a bunch of climate events that have been created somehow, I mean, everyone will just have to say, well, they told us so, and I bet there's all kinds of things they've been seeding clouds, and I bet they can make earthquakes and tsunamis and I definitely
believe earthquakes are...
That'll be the next thing they pull on us. The next Illuminati card that they play could be like a weather event. That's one of the cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do believe in weather manipulation, and I certainly have read into... Is it Pershing? Dr. Pershing? Is he Canadian or American? He was the guy that said, we're in control of the weather now. It's a military... think tanks and things like that back in the 90s, or might even been earlier. There's a couple of guys that were big on the whole weather manipulation. I mean, if you want to find out about weather manipulation, just look into the Chinese company. I forget the name of it. They've got 100,000 employees, and they
brag about it all the time. Yeah.
They brag about the sports when they said, "Oh, we made the rain so all of the smog was rained down." Like.
Yeah,
you brag about it. You can do it, so it's a thing, or you're lying. It's either or.
Yeah, we use cloud seeding here when there's drought up at the snowy mountains. It's a thing. It's
what
in the paper.
Used against silver nitrate or something.
The
science seems to check out. You know.
Well, cloud seeding. I mean, you've got old Donald Duck comics. Back in the 30s, I think, with Donald Duck the Cloud Seeder. Yeah. I remember having that.
I won't do my impression this time.
If that's a hoax, it's forever.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure they can they definitely can do things with the weather. I'm watching events. I mean, I'm 57. Well,
have you ever seen that giant NASA machine that's in the swamp?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you seen that thing? Videos of that thing? Now that thing, they show you they can change the weather. Like they show
I'm living in. I'm right now in a rainforest area, right? And I'm looking up at a mountain, and because it's rained here, there's giant volumes of steam coming up that cliff, and it's going straight up and coming back down as rain. Now all they did is they made a very giant shed, and they mixed those chemicals together and fired it up, and below me down, it rained. So, you know, it was an awful lot of effort that they required to do that. I think they can much easier do it on the right weather conditions by spraying either aerosolized aluminium, which, you know, that's what deodorant, antiperspirant you use under your arms is an aluminium-based thing that stops the...
It gives everyone Alzheimer's, too.
And gives you that. So they've got a win-win situation, haven't they?
Perfect.
I'm not on that. I don't know how good my memory is. Shocking at the moment for things. And
I'm going to dispute the Alzheimer's aluminium thing. I'm going to tell you straight out that it's lack of salt.
Okay.
Here's the reason I'm not kidding, is because it has been demonstrated that when you have insufficient salt, you muck up the level of transfer across a blood-brain barrier of water is an ionic disbalance. It's actually been proven in a paper that was published in the Salt Institute just before it was mysteriously shut down.
Deleted? Oh, they shut the Salt Institute down? Well, I mean, look, how wonderful do you
feel? I can't believe they had a Salt Institute. That's very, very, very interesting.
The Salt Institute was a company that was established more than 100 years ago. As the interest group for the salt industry, you know, a bit like the pulp and paper industry's got an institute, and you know, all the steelworks have got one.
Yeah.
And in its last conference in 2019, it went very bolshy and started producing a whole bunch of papers about
2019, just like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and then just after the conference. Where they were talking about suing doctors and suing medical boards for malfeasance over the claims that they were making about salt, it turned out that the owners of the Salt Institute were, when it had been set up originally, that was actually owned, and the boards of the companies, the main companies involved, unilaterally decided to shut the Salt Institute down without consulting the members, without consulting the people that were running it. And so the Salt Institute was ordered to be disbanded immediately. Its website was taken down.
Were they trying to talk about the benefits of salt, or exactly. Were they trying to sell salt? Or
no,
were they
well,
trying to sell?
Either way, there was paper after paper published showing numerous claims about salt were false. And showing that lack of salt in the elderly, which is what happens when you go into an old people's home, you will be deprived of salt, and that's when you start. That's when you start falling over.
It hires.
They just
want to
murder the human race.
They do, for sure. I mean, just remember when hydrolyzed oils were pushed onto food manufacturing in 1910. The incidence of heart attack, stroke, and cancers went up 100-fold within 5 to 10 years. And
well, that's it was unknown until
hydrolyzed. So it's when they would, instead of using meat fat or butter, they hydrolyzed, so they extracted the oils through vegetables.
Yeah. So the vegetable oils are deadly, yeah? And that's
deadly,
when
literally.
Heart attacks are started.
And then they crossed. Okay. Then they brought in the salt is bad for you mantra, which I was a part of, and margarine is good for you. And they slowly killed off all these old people. Well, it's not old people; people my age, I guess, back in the 60s.
That's 70s. Pretty old. Man. That's pretty old.
Yeah.
I'm just joking, Rick. I'm just joking, buddy.
I know. I'm happy.
So
I'm happy.
if you have
the
people
opposite.
that are increasing. Yeah, you do the opposite. But basically, if you know of anyone that has suddenly started falling over and people break their hips, the other problem with not having enough salt is your body then robs the salt from your bones where it's stored and you get osteoporosis.
Yeah, I'm having fun right now.
And what about sugar? What does sugar do to old people?
Sugar is, as a refined carbohydrate, absolutely damages you.
Poison.
The worst,
natural sugar or high fructose corn syrup sugar?
All of the above. What happens with carbohydrates
they,
is...
They made it the fattened hog. That's the reason it was invented.
Exactly.
What happens is you develop insulin resistance, and insulin resistance causes you to hold on to sodium, but instead of in the cells, in an extracellular manner. And so if you have insulin resistance and you take salt in the quantities you need to, you'll end up with hypertension. Refined carbohydrates are destroying people.
So I have a theory. I think if you go into the grocery store and if you buy anything that begins with the letter C, you're in big trouble. Cookies, candy, crackers, cake, Coke, chips, cereal.
Funny that.
And they're all on the aisles of the middle of the store, and I didn't invent this. Someone, this
no,
is
I saw that.
It's like bottles and bags and boxes, and those are the most profitable things. And the things, the four things that kill people are processed flour, processed fat, processed sugar, and processed salt and preservatives, and that's just a killer, and they that's where all their marketing budget goes, and that's what those are the most value added profit things, and so everyone's eating Cheetos and all that crap.
Oh
Cheetos, man. I'm gonna add that one. That begins with the letter C. Cheetos.
Cheetos
are good.
They are good. Of course, they're good.
Naturally made.
They were invented in New Jersey in some lab, so it tastes wonderful.
The net effect I'm telling you is about Alzheimer's. The main cause of Alzheimer's is an imbalance of the I can't remember that. It's basically the ionic pressure in your body fluids, and it allows water to pass across the blood-brain barrier.
And so now I can throw this funky deodorant that I buy away and go get the good stuff?
You can. All I'm suggesting to you is don't worry.
It's not the aluminum, it's the salt.
My problem is that I don't use deodorant at all. I don't use toothpaste, shampoo, or soap. I haven't used any of those things. I haven't brushed my teeth for 10 years, and they're still completely perfect.
But the thing about deodorants, the promise that you won't sweat. Like, if you are a human being, and you rub
something
under your arms that stops your sweat glands from functioning.
You're a good thing.
You're an idiot. Doesn't it just fill the pores up with aluminum to keep the sweat from coming out? Isn't that the effective thing of the mitten or whatever?
It's insane that you think that is a good thing as a normal human being.
Absolutely. Where your underarms are is your lymph system.
It's your drainage system. So I keep explaining to people, including my own children, etc., that imagine having your house and walk.
We've lost him.
Yeah, he dropped out. But I don't use antiperspirant. I just use like a deodorant. But it has no paraffins and no aluminum in it. So I actually.
There's a guy, I use. Just a salute. Every now and then, right? Maybe every couple of weeks, if I start to stink, I will put a solution. You know, I make up a solution of bicarbonate of soda and put that in, and that will work for a long time. And then another fellow that I was talking with on this site made up a similar thing where he used coconut fat and bicarbonate, and that works extremely well, and it's harmless.
Yeah, I try and buy natural. Like, I actually went to go out of my way to buy natural. Like, I don't have any fluoride in my toothpaste, but I do brush my teeth. I try to buy natural deodorant.
I'm going to suggest to you that brushing your teeth is another absolutely stupid thing to do.
How do you clean your teeth, Frank?
Getting all this stuff out.
There are several ways to brush your teeth, but the first one is obviously you use dental floss, and the second one is you can do a thing called oil pulling.
Yes,
which is very effective.
Coconut oil?
Coconut fat or just ordinary fat. Or olive oil.
I got another phone call through, but I was trying to say an analogy. If you in your house, if you walked around and blocked all of the side gutters with cotton wool and it rains, what's going to happen? I mean, obviously all the water's going to go somewhere and block up. And that's what the underarm deodorant's doing. The antiperspirant is literally blocking your most important function of your those glands.
Brushing your teeth is you are literally scraping the enamel off your teeth.
Oh, what about charcoal? I use charcoal.
If you're causing physical damage to your teeth, why are you doing it?
Okay, so what do? Just rub.
Like I said,
using a toothbrush without anything on it.
Or you can actually just use your fingernail if you find it a major problem. It's up to you. But oil pulling works very well.
COVID's in my fingernail. Watch out.
So the key problem of dental decay is, firstly, most people are not getting enough salt, so they haven't got the bicarbonate in their saliva to knock out the bacteria that should normally be knocked out.
And the diets that you're having, the bacteria in the mouth.
Exactly. It's just bonkers. Now, these things like deodorant and toothbrushes only came in with the introduction of the poor diet, the margarines and so on. That's when they started.
It's funky because when I saw like pictures of like the catacombs in Paris, where you know, the walls made of skulls, right?
Yeah.
They had no means of brushing the teeth with any method that we use these days. They just didn't do nothing. They had most.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm Del Qua.
I'm Ashika.
Dave J. Cody from Memphis.
Silver Bay.
Chris from Hoaxbusters.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
That was awesome.
If that doesn't tell you anything, if skulls from a time where they literally had no means of tending to their teeth have most of their teeth, like thousands of them, like it makes you wonder What are we doing to our teeth?
How did you know they didn't brush their teeth then?
Well, I think they didn't have any agents that they put on. Like there's toothbrushes in of themselves are a thing that have been found. I don't know how long ago. Like people had a need to get rid of the build up that accumulates on your teeth, even if you have a healthy diet, but. They didn't have like anything they put on the toothbrush, or if you can.
Wasn't found in Stone Age.
Well, don't forget that the Pacific Islanders, the people from Papua New Guinea, and Amazonian Indians, they obviously haven't had toothbrushes, have they? And they were the subject of a study by Weston Price, very famous study. The whole dental care thing is just a construct of stupidity.
I haven't been to the dentist in 20 or 30 years, and they're all doing fine. All my teeth are good. I'm 54 years old. I think I might go to Mexico. I'm real close to Mexico, so I might go over there and make sure I don't get the fluoride treatment or anything, but everything's good. And I also, and another thing kind of somewhat related is, I had two cats that were brothers, and they lived to be 20 years old, and never took them to the vet or anything. I like took them when they were kittens, they went to the vet, but they were fine. And I think, Western medicine is an abomination. And, I think what they're really good at is putting people back together as far as rehab. And if you're injured, putting people back together, they're really good at that. But as far as making people eat petrochemicals every day, and it's just a big profit power grab, people should just expose Western medicine as it's just a fraud. I mean, they've planned it for decades. And now it's going to be biotech. It's going to be information. It's the fourth industrial revolution. So that means that information technology is going to merge with biotech, and everyone's going to be plugged into the, and be tracked and traced and all, after all this COVID stuff, they're not even talking about things you can do to protect your immune system. Like no one even cares about that. They've got the ticker on the news talking about they just want to scare everyone. I think more people than you think are doctors and insurance. And I mean, people have just been sick and tired of getting ripped off all the time. And you can just go over to Mexico, and there's very reasonable doctors and dentists, and you can get your glasses, you can get a bunch of pharma, you can get 6 months worth of pharma, and they're just trying to screw people over and over and over, and they're seeing how much they can get away with, and apparently it's quite a bit, and they're not even through, so. So I don't know what it's like around the world as far as medical technology and biotech and stuff like that, but people are going to walk away from it, and they don't want their kids to be, they don't want to like have a kid and have their penis mutilated and 47 shots and stuff like that. I mean, there's alternatives. People can figure out how to walk away from all that. And I think it's probably going to happen. I think people have they've crossed the line, and people don't want to deal with that. And even if it means I'm walking away from their insurance and their paychecks, I think there's people don't want to deal with it anymore. I mean, they're going to walk away. So that's the end of my rant. Thank you.
Yeah, so someone said it before, just, you know, as far as I can tell, if you hear public health advice, just do the opposite. You'll be better off.
There was actually a that realization that I have, like, way too late into this whole thing. When someone said, why would all of these doctors that say this one thing have been trained wrong to or have an incentive to say something that is not true? And it took me way too long to finally come to the obvious example of, you know how many doctors in America recommend circumcisions for babies as a means to prevent STDs even today?
How many?
About 90%.
Wow.
It is still taught that it prevents UTIs, it prevents HIV.
They probably get straight up paid up. They get paid for each one of them, I bet.
Oh, the ones that actually perform the circumcisions, they get like $300 for each one, and that is like a 5-minute procedure.
It's child trauma, anyways.
Pretty good deal.
It's a terrible, terrible thing that it traumatizes these boys and men for their whole life. And this is still standard practice in one of the largest Western countries in the world. And when people say, oh, doctors couldn't be taught to believe something that is factually not true, like, why? Why would you assume that?
Bad for you?
Come again?
Like, the mercury fillings are bad for you. Mercury fillings, like the...
Yeah.
They used to put DDT on children's heads to get rid of lice, for Christ's sake.
Oh, really? I never heard of that one. Oh, my gosh, really? Wow.
DDT
only became a bad word in my childhood. You know, DDT wasn't bad until I was 10 or 15 years old. Up until then,
it was
the bird eggs were getting thin, right? The bird eggs were getting thin.
There is a connection between DDT and polio.
How far back did it go? How far back did DDT go? Is it like before polio?
Well, no, it was basically...
Did DDT cause polio?
Yeah, it was basically World War II. It basically was polio and DDT. And the same with the mad cow disease. That was glyphosate.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, the story is it was glyphosate. So, you know, if anyone wants to sue me, I deny that I say it's a fact. But, you know, I've heard associations with that.
Do you think that mad cow disease might have just been nothing like the coronavirus, and that they just said it was bad and just go, you know, just execute all the cows, just as a rundown pre to the agenda 2030?
No, I don't know what the facts are, but there is an association, a clear association between mad cow disease and the introduction of herbicides in the UK at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Jacobs thing, just like AIDS, it's turned out to be absolutely nothing. Mm. There has been no epidemic, no anything.
So if I have cows, the government will come and the government will say, oh, your cows are sick. I got cows. But I'm like, is that something you can check for yourself as a rancher? Or is that something you got to rely on lab tests for?
Well, again, it turns out that their ability to do that, even that is a kind of fraud perpetrated on you, because you know the U.S. Constitution has been broken since the 11 states walked out of the Union. You know,
was that 1871? Was that 1871?
Wasn't it 1861?
Okay, right.
Before the Civil War, like that's what caused, like that's when the Civil War started. Well,
so when from the time that the Civil War started, from the time that those states walked out of the whatever the equivalent of their Parliament House is, the Congress, then the USA failed to be
a quorum.
It didn't have a quorum. And so since that time, Lincoln has operated using his executive orders. So it's under martial law. The U.S. operates now under martial law. It hasn't had a constitution since then.
The first executive order was in 1861, by the way, number one.
Yeah. That was basically the time when what you call the constitution disappeared or became inactive.
Emergency states are in effect right now? I thought it was like 36 a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
No. It happened in the Civil War.
There's different levels to it as well.
Yeah, and that's what the corporate, they did the Land Act of 1871, and in the Land Act of 1871, they made Washington, D.C. sovereign soil within a country, and then that way the people who actually work for the government can make laws against, like, the people of the United States, so they can't get charged with treason because they're doing it from outside, from a foreign land and stuff.
Yeah, but they did change from the previous model, which was ecclesiastical, and they changed to the United States being a corporation.
Yeah, way so back then. You now just operate under Roman law. Yeah.
So yeah. Has everyone listened to that story? That guy that's doing the research about the world fairs and the mysterious shenanigans.
Yep.
Isn't that fantastic? That there's a big story in there somewhere. And people need to really go in there and start digging and looking at old books and finding out.
And it even happened in my own hometown.
It did. Geelong. It certainly did.
Geelong had a fantastic World's Fair.
Yeah.
And a fantastic thing. All the buildings were demolished.
They were demolished. And just the incredible photographs, though, that you can still see online, if you're lucky, if you go into the site. Crow's interviewed the guy three times, I think. I forget his name.
The best guy is John Levi.
Okay.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay.
J-O-N-L-E-V-I.
All right. Sounds fantastic. It's just so interesting. I mean, just looking at the structures of
those
buildings.
Another fellow is called UAP.
Okay. Yeah, UAP, yeah. Go to solidhistory.net, man. Solidhistory.net is a great forum that has a lot of that information about the World Fairs. They also have state buildings, like the Ohio State or like the Kansas. Like, they have states that have incredible state buildings that were built in, like, in the early 1800s.
Yeah,
when there were four people there.
A thousand people live in the town. And
I did demo.
To build these buildings, and they made them out of stone. It wasn't even, they weren't stucco or, you know, made out of.
They weren't facades. They were solid.
Yeah, they were solid stone.
I remember being really concerned and thinking, there's something strange, you know, back in the, I think it was the 70s, we had this beautiful old building, the town hall in the area I grew up in, New Zealand. Beautiful, incredible building. They demolished it, and it could have only been, and by their history, 50 years old or 60 years old, and they demolished it and put this stupid glass-looking thing up there. But the building was absolutely incredible, but they demolished it, and amongst other buildings in the area. So there's something going on about, there's something there, there's a there about old buildings and this reset and these world fairs and
stolen history. Like you're trying to get rid of the evidence.
It's called the end of the thousand years of Christ's reign, and the people that were there at the time got taken up into... you know, into the realm. And
the rest, the rest of them got locked in psychiatric centres by the sound of it. It's like,
no, those that had died suddenly came back to life. That's the biblical
story. You say this happened 1,000 years ago.
I say that a huge majority of people just disappeared from the earth about, as far as we can tell, about 1860.
Is that where all the orphans came from?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Genetically modified humans? Or who were the orphans? Were they genetically modified humans?
Well, the story is, according to the Book of Revelation, is that those that had died 1,000 years ago were brought back to life to be given another chance to work out how the world really works.
Am I one of them?
Well, I think we all are. That's the story.
Okay.
None of us know it's true, but I'm just simply saying.
The facts
correlate with the biblical story. That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, it is, but the fact that they're knocking down these beautiful old buildings years ago that were nothing wrong with them at all, and that were signs of a great architectural wonders, and they just demolished them. And remember all the palaces? Remember Crystal Palace? I think that burned in the 40s or 50s.
Well, hang on, they all had those mysterious fires.
Yeah,
all had mysterious fires.
All of them, yeah. So I've gotten the fires. I've got lots of good old books. That's what my thing is. And there's some amazing pictures of those crystal palaces. around the place. So there's something, there's a there. So great subject to talk about too.
And don't forget salt's bad for you, except that the Australian government in 2017 removed the upper limit on salt that it had for years. They removed it and didn't tell anyone.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean by that, remove the upper limit.
So there is in the, what they call the National Medical Health and Research Council of Australia, there was a recommendation for an upper limit to how much salt adults should have per day.
A minimum or the maximum?
A maximum. An upper limit.
Oh, right, okay.
And then, without any discussion or advertising of the fact that they had done so, in 2017, that upper limit was removed from the guidelines. Now, what's astonishing to me is I have been closely following all that stuff, and I only found out about it 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Well,
they blindsided you. What was the upper limit? Do you know what it was?
I don't know what it was. It was quite low, you know, like 4 or 5 grams or something.
Yeah. So they're salt pussies.
What's happened now is that without telling anyone, they've removed the upper limit. So essentially, doctors are still telling people you're limited to so much, whereas the government, on the basis of not having enough evidence, have removed the upper limit. Now, this is actually profound. People don't realise what's going on here. That's a profound thing.
What do you think is going on?
I think is going on is that people were obviously making lots of noises about this stuff going on.
Oh, so they're saying that it's okay to have more.
Yeah, you can. There's no limit. There's no prescribed limit for adults over the age of 18 on the amount of salt.
That's interesting.
It's a huge change. You know, in America, they're actually talking about introducing a mandatory limit in the USA. If it hasn't already been done, though, it was going to be done, of 6 grams of salt. Now, anything less than 10, I've published a graph on the chat the other day, anything less than 10 rapidly increases the morbidity rate, overall morbidity.
Oh, that reminds me, I asked you this a couple months back, what's your take on iodine?
Yeah, that people are not having enough iodine.
The way it shows up
is you get basically get a thick neck and a water bottle. If you look at Japanese people, so Japanese people have about 20,000 micrograms a day through seaweed and so on, and
they live a lot longer.
And well, they just don't get these thyroid diseases that we get.
Well, how many people do you know that are on I know two in my family that are taking thyroid.
It's very common. Yeah.
Yeah.
I take a solution called Lugol solution, three drops a day.
Struck me when someone mentioned that.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
The key thing is that iodine has disappeared from the chemist.
Iodine-free salt, and when I buy, like, cooking salt, it's always, like, with iodine.
Yeah, so the reason that came about was...
It's advertised as a good thing in Switzerland, but it's advertised as a bad thing in America, and that's weird.
Iodine, for some reason, are demonizing that lately.
Well, the interesting thing about iodine is that in Australia, when the population was building after the reset, the people were short of iodine, and so they started introducing iodine into salt because at that time everybody had lots of salt in their diet. Up until refrigeration, you would get a minimum of 15 grams a day in your diet.
Kidding, huh?
So the easiest way to make sure you got enough iodine was to iodize the salt. So that was the public health measure that was practiced all around the world. Then, with the introduction of refrigeration, people were taking less salt, and so iodine started to become a problem. But at the same time in Australia, cow udders were treated with an iodine solution for sterilization, so people were getting iodine through their milk. But that stopped. that stopped 30 years ago.
Now
they're
using
iodine
a nasty chemical now.
They're using an awful chemical now. Now, the people of Australia are lucky to get 50 micrograms of iodine a day. It's totally inadequate. And if you look at most Australian men over the age of 40, they've got a massive water bottle under their chins. I had one.
So that would be a lack of iodine? Really?
Lack of iodine. So I had a massive water bottle, and I got rid of mine entirely when I worked out that I should up my iodine.
So, and you get your iodine out of what product?
I buy stuff called Lugol solution. And by the way, you can't get in the chemist. You can't get iodine from the chemist at all anymore.
They've stopped that. And the other one we talk about, Borax, is Woolworths.
That's
don't
just another
Borax.
One, yeah. Lugol, L-U-G-O-L solution. 3 drops a day.
I think that's the Australian brand, but you can go to iHerb.com and buy great iodine solutions on there.
Just pay for a thing, guys.
What an ounce of water that you recommend? What? Lugol?
Lugol's is a brand name in Australia. That's the brand.
It's not a brand name. It's the name of a guy that worked out how to make it.
Yeah, Dr. Lugol. That's right. Sorry.
Oh, maybe I'll get some of that.
I've typed in the live stream notes.
Okay.
Excellent. Excellent work.
Lugol, gotcha.
My main takeaway is that I should start eating more eggs with salt.
Yes.
Because the eggs salt that I have has iodine.
Yep.
Hard-boiled eggs with salt and pepper. Mm, yeah.
It's tasty, too. I shouldn't. Oh,
delicious.
They told me it was unhealthy to eat eggs
Just do the opposite.
When I was young, I used to put mass salt on my potatoes and corn and everything. I would put mass, and my dad did too. And then I would like go to my friend's house. They're like, we don't put salt on our food. You should try salt without it. Salt's not good for you. So I went ahead and I started eating all my vegetables without salt over a couple of years. And then I fell in love with saltless food. But seriously, after talking to you guys, I don't know. Maybe I'll start pouring more salt on my food.
But you got to get good salt. That's the important thing. Don't use table salt. Make sure you just go and get a Celtic sea salt and don't get Himalayan sea salt. It's not as good. It's the sea harvest.
The Himalayan salt is a scam.
It's a big scam. It's better than
salt per day. You are the salt guy. Like, what is a good in America, California? Like, what salt would I buy?
Celtic sea salt.
Yeah, I think the best, any salt that's actually sea salt is the go.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one thing I really love about the seasoning products I buy. Like the salt that I used to season my food is sea salt with herbs, and it has like all the salts around here with iodine. It tastes good, and I'm thinking from everything I've heard today and the last couple of conversations, it sounds like this is very, very good for me.
Now, just remember that iodine doesn't naturally occur in salt, no matter what people tell you. Iodine is an added product in salt.
That's why they have to label it with iodine. They can't sell it that's another thing. Like around here, we have like really strict laws about labeling food items, which I like.
Even around here, they used to put iodized salt on every. They would. It might not be an ingredient, but they would buy like Norton's iodized salt. They always told you it had iodine in it. Everything always had iodine in it back.
In fact, they said it in a really strange way. They always called it iodized salt. So it sounds like something weird. Weird and electrical has happened to it.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right.
Iodine's been added. It's a strange word, though, isn't it? Why use the word iodized? It's so weird. It's salt with iodine.
It's about
gout.
Don't call
non-working women penised women, so that's weird.
So people used to get gout because they had because the salt was this processed salt that didn't have any minerals in it, and so they finally said, okay, we're going to put iodized salt so you don't get gout. And that, I think that was the, that's what I heard.
Maybe,
I don't
know. So let me get to a more general thing. I view all this stuff as what I call a halide war, right? Halides are a group of chemicals like chlorine and fluorine and all that sort of stuff. Your body essentially operates on a couple of basic things: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride. Those four things are vital for your functioning of your body. So in the case of sodium, it's because it holds water, right? And you need water to be hydrated. In the case of chloride, it's the thing that drives the breathing. It's the thing that creates the hydrochloric acid that allows you to digest your food. And when your body, when you eat salt, your stomach produces hydrochloric acid, which digests your food, and sodium bicarbonate, which is used to keep your blood alkaline, 7.4. And then magnesium and potassium are elements that drive everything across the transaction between oxygen and carbon dioxide. So all of your breathing requires, everything about you, all of your functions, your basic functions require plenty of sodium, plenty of potassium, magnesium for muscle function, and chloride. And then you bring in the carbon dioxide and all that sort of stuff through breathing. And you make it and so on. Now the problem is at the moment is that the chemicals that they use are antagonistic towards those things. So for example, fluoride will outperform chloride in the way your body works. So any small amount of fluoride in your body will take up the fluoride ahead of the chloride, which causes dysfunction. Fluoride also...
The same reasoning why they tell you to take iodine capsules if you're exposed to a radiation leak?
Well, that's just... The whole thing about radiation is just total fraud.
Oh, just like the same logic that what they tell you, like, take the iodine capsule because then this...
It displaces those radioactive things.
Yeah, like just the same logic. I don't want to...
I understand. So the idea is that there's radioactive iodine produced, and you take ordinary iodine, and that dislodges that radioactive iodine. Anyway, just continuing on. So the chemicals that are used now, fluoride and bromine and so on, they're antagonistic to iodine, which is vital for your thyroid function, and chloride, which is vital for your breathing function, and you know all those production of things. So anything. These other halides are competing with the halides that you need. Bromine causes a lot of damage. Bromine's in chocolate and all sorts of stuff. And a lot of chemical and water treatment plants started using bromine about 10 years ago, whereas before they'd use chlorine-based solutions or iodine-based solutions. It's all pretty straightforward as far as I can see.
Isn't bromine a sex suppressant?
Yeah. And the way it works is by attacking the thyroid and attacking the thyroid is how you drive your energy.
So they used to put it in the tea. It was put in the tea in the Second World War and the First World War to stop soldiers' urges, apparently.
Yeah, stop them shagging each other. And there was a thing in Australia, I don't know if you know, Rick, called Bex, is a...
Bex powders, yes.
Bromine powder, yeah.
Was that bromine? Oh, wow, I thought it was aspirin. And old housewives were addicted to it, weren't they?
Yeah, so it just becomes addictive and they slow down and it basically just causes their thyroid to go out of gear and no one's having any children while they're feeling shit and depressed.
I guarantee you could trace all this shit back to Julian Huxley's World Health UNESCO plan, you know, to bring down populations.
Well, the thing it demonstrates to me, Rick, is that
yeah.
People in the know have understood what I've just said all the time, right? They've always known this.
They've always
known you need salt and iodine, and then they've reversed it to cause people to get into all sorts of trouble. You know, the Japanese people have bone fractures at one-fifth of the rate that Anglo people do.
Wow.
One-fifth.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of hip replacements and knee replacements and osteoporosis, that's unknown in Japan.
It's an industry, though, isn't it? Now.
We live in a death cult, that's all. We live in a world of illusion. And that's just how it is.
Now I'm really curious what the difference between the Netherlands and Switzerland might be, because I've always felt like there's like a special airline to bring back hurt people from the Netherlands back to the Netherlands if they have an accident on the skiing slope. And I always bought into like, oh, they're just dumb. They grew up in the flatlands. They don't know how to ski. But maybe they just don't have enough iodine in their diet. So when they fall, they break something. Because I fell a lot when I was a kid. I never broke anything on the slope.
Again, I think Switzerland is largely protected because that's really where all the money is. They're the guys that defend the Pope, and
that's actually what I'm all. The longer I think about things, more I learn about things. I'm like, why are things that are terrible in other countries normal, like handled well around here? Because it's a refuge for the rich and powerful, and they would like to have a place where things are normal.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. That's definitely.
I guess I was just fucking lucky to be born here.
Well, I'm sure there are plenty of disadvantages.
Oh, the things are awry, all right. But like, just about the fucking salt and iodine. Like, so many other countries just said, oh, iodine-free salt or salt with fluoride and shit like that. Like,
with fluoride? Oh, what a cracker. That's just a cracker.
I mean, yeah. As far as I remember, they made the correlation between good teeth and fluoride based on some fossils. Like, it's not really scientific data.
Well, again, there's no science to that at all anymore.
Oh, we found these people have better teeth, the ones we dug up, and there's high fluoride levels in the water around there. Oh, that must mean the fluoride means good teeth. And there's like a million factors that could be responsible for their good teeth outside of fucking fluoride.
Well, again, I think the biggest factor is just diet. Just eat normal food. Don't eat manufactured foods and cut out carbs. Pretty basic.
I love French fries. Whenever I have to give them up, I'm really gonna miss them.
Well, again, if you have French fries that are deep fried in animal fat like they used to be, with plenty of salt on, you're actually getting a really good nutritious food because potatoes are rich in potassium, and because you like to have plenty of salt on, they taste great. So you're getting salt, and if you cook them in animal fat, you're getting saturated animal fat. You're getting a rich load of potassium. So, you know, French fries cooked properly with the proper ingredients are sensational. They're you know, practically a health food.
Yeah, especially if we use, like, lamb fat. Well, that's not F for everyone with the taste, but I think it's delicious.
Yeah.
You can buy animal fat to cook food in like that? You can just buy...
You can still buy dripping. You can still buy lard. You can still do all those things.
It would be cooking...
Yep, it's fantastic. I just recommend that if you want French fries, just avoid having the ones that are cooked in cottonseed oil and all that sort of stuff, which is the common oil to choose. Those oils are dangerous. They're toxic. If you're interested in this topic more, then I suggest you look at the videos shown by a group called Low Carb Down Under. And also, Ivor Cummins is a gun on this stuff too.
Do you know anything about like sunflower oil?
It's a seed oil, which should not be consumed.
Okay, good.
Saturated fats. The only unsaturated fat that's semi okay is olive oil.
Yeah, but you can't fry anything in olive oil.
You can't fry in it. No.
It will evaporate.
Yep.
Frank, what do you think about like nuts and things then? Because they're kind of seeds.
Yeah, they're super. No, nuts are not seeds, but they're super good. Yeah,
I love nuts. I love nuts so much, all different kinds.
And it's not really a problem with seeds either. The grains are not great. It's the seed oil they produce from the seeds that are terrible.
But isn't a lot of the thing with the seeds the actual, like the casings of the seeds and things like that? and how they like scratch up the internal well, the bowels and things.
I don't know much about that.
I think there's something. Yeah, I think there's something about like if you're eating too many like seeds and grains and things, you get like leaky gut and things like that because the shells are too tough to properly digest, and they cut up your digestive tract as you pass them, I think. And then you get
the only studies that I think are plausible are that leaky gut is actually caused by seed oils, not by the seeds themselves.
Also, like the abrasive stuff, the coverage. Like,
yeah, basically.
That is 99% whether you chew enough or not.
Yeah, probably.
Lots of
but
foods
again,
can be harmful to your intestines if you don't chew enough. That's on you if you don't chew. To make that a slogan, that's on you if you don't chew.
If you've got some papers on that thing about you're saying about the seeds, I'd be very interested to read them because obviously I have a different view at the moment.
Yeah, there's a. Have you ever heard of this old YouTube? What was he like? Nutritionist, basically called D.D. Mayfield.
Oh, I haven't. No.
Oh, okay. I think he's got some stuff on it.
I'll post a video which covers all these things I'm saying really well. It's the latest one out. One of the latest ones out of the. Out of low carb down under, it's really very good. I'd recommend, you know, I mean, whether you disagree with it or not, I don't see how you can be harmed by watching the video. These guys have really, in my opinion, got this thing well documented, well understood. They talk about the suppression of longitudinal studies of low fat versus high fat diets.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
So I'll just post it in the live stream notes if anyone's interested.
Yeah, I'll put this D.D. Mayfield channel in there as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna step out. It's been lovely talking to you guys. Very interesting. Oh,
yeah.
Very, very lovely. Have a good time, everyone. Be well.
Bye.
Yeah, nice to chat. Thank you.
Where are we?
Okay, so here's the.
What happened? What?
Can you see that post link?
Yeah, yeah.
Live stream notes. Are you smarter than a doctor? Well, we have a doctor on the call. Dr. Fuster Cluck, is this look accurate to you? I love
doctor,
that name.
Doctor,
I love that name. I love that name.
LSD, have you ever tried doing like roasting potatoes with goose fat or duck fat?
Yum.
No, I haven't.
We've been messing around,
and you guys have probably, it turns out this might not be the greatest idea in the world. I guess using animal fat to cook is a good thing, but we've been using this, what is that called? An air cooker?
Yep.
Yeah.
We've been using an air cooker to cook like French fries and stuff lately. Not cook, you know, and they're not really good.
That's okay. I mean, there's no, you know, at least you're not using
oil,
seed oil. What is it? Just like an oven, basically.
No, it just uses air, like hot air. It blows hot air through, and that's
just like a fan oven sort of thing.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But, yeah, something that you're not really good at, like, even processed food, like chicken nuggets, or the kids, like, love those things, you know, and fish
sticks. The chicken nuggets will almost certainly have seed oils on them.
Yeah, that's how they cook.
They're already cooked, you know. They already been ruined. It's a cool way to heat them up, though. But you can actually cook raw stuff into cooked, like bread fries. So maybe I'll try
but if cooking with animal fat is good, I don't know. I got to relearn my brain. This is I'm taking on a lot here. It's a lot of good info, but you know, I got to like.
Well, you were really. I think you'll really enjoy the video I posted. The low carb down under.
Okay. Yep. Look how low carb down under. That looks good. Looks good. Yeah, looks good. I'll give it a shot.
What I'm interested in now is while we're in this point, has anyone got any favorable stories about modern medical practice? Because I haven't found many.
I have it goes along the way that it's good at passing you up, is I've had a couple dirt bike wrecks where I broke my arm and the end of my radius was pushed off to the side and they couldn't set it. And I had to go get an operation and then get hardware put in. And they did a fantastic job, man. You would never know what happened. My arm is as good as new, man. And that would have been a game changer for me. And I've had a couple surgeries where they had to put hardware in where it was top notch. They did a wonderful job. But other than that, it seems like anytime somebody gets cancer or somebody gets sick, they can't do anything about it. They can only drill you, it's screw you back together. But if you're really sick with something, my daughter has migraines and stuff, and we keep taking her, and we can't figure out what it is. The doctors can't do anything about it.
I would suggest to you that it's lack of salt.
I asked the last call I was on with you. I even asked you, how should I give it to her? So next time she has it, I didn't know, I could walk up to her. And yeah, I'm definitely willing to try at least one time.
The best way to have it is to get some Italian sparkling mineral water and squeeze half, and get a glass and squeeze half a lemon juice and put salt with it. So it's sparkling and fizzy and tastes lemony and salty.
My
girlfriend does hot water and lemon with salt.
Okay.
Yeah.
And,
what does your girlfriend think of the hot water, lemon, and salt?
Oh, yeah, she likes it, yeah.
Yeah, it tastes great, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
But lemons are so expensive now.
You sea salt. Lemons are expensive?
Lemons are expensive, yeah. Well, here they are. They're really expensive.
Oh, wow.
They're not that expensive here.
Oh, that's good. I'm lucky I've got my neighbour's got a tree, but lemons are $3 and $4 each here.
What?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's worth growing a tree for that.
Yep. Yeah, we've got a tree in the back, but like I said, I've got a neighbour. They're very expensive.
I
use a lot of lemons.
Interest on my property. I have 6 trees I got to plant next month here, and I'm not going to do citrus this year, but I'm going to definitely try a citrus tree next year, but I think I'm in the wrong climate for citrus. I don't know if any of it will work. Anyway, so how much salt would you recommend with a one-shot deal?
Oh, no, you just make up the drink to your taste, right?
Yeah.
It should actually taste pleasant. It actually tastes pleasant. If you use sparkling mineral water and lemon and then just keep adding salt, so it remains pleasant tasting.
Yeah.
As much as you can.
Okay.
If it doesn't taste pleasant, you're doing the wrong thing.
You got too much salt, okay.
It's actually delicious and refreshing.
Yeah, man, I remember when I was a kid, I'd eat so much salt, it was gross. I would rub...
Well, you're saying it was gross. It's really incredible how brainwashed we all are, isn't it?
Yeah. Or you get
there's also probably table salt.
And it'll actually give you bumps on your tongue from eating too much salt.
I mean, the idea is to have it on your food, and so it tastes nice.
Yeah, you don't want to be gross about it, yeah. But I'm going to definitely try that with my daughter, let you know how it goes. I'll say, hey, honey, tell me when you have a headache next time, and then I'll be ready. We'll get ready to give her some water, and then we'll see if it gives her, we'll see how it turns out. Maybe it'll help her headache a little bit,
I've got we'll see. Yeah. I have little doubt. Do you restrict her salt intake now? Do you tell her salt is bad and all that sort of stuff?
No, but we've never been super salty kind of a fit. We never pushed it either, we never really pushed eating extra salt or anything like that,
People that think they are literally going to die if they have salt in their food.
I'm not scared. I'm not really scared of it, but I, but I can always try a little more. It's just out of my mind. It's so down in my mind that these government organizations that try and tell you what's good for you and what's not good for you, usually there's some twisted, backhanded, laugh something wrong about what they're saying. Government does nothing good. They do nothing good, and people just love their government. So it's crazy. It's insane.
Yeah,
it's insane.
There is no evidence at all that government is doing anything good for anyone, especially at the moment.
Oh, yeah, I know. The people, they can't get enough. They'll put on, what is my government going to let me do today? Let me put the news on. If I put the news on, maybe I'll find out when I'm allowed to go outside and stuff. It's crazy to some people. And then some people are still like, well, I'm going to go vote. You know, I got to get the right guy in, you know, if only the other guy, and in America, I don't claim to exactly know what it's like around the whole world, because I guess there's multiple political parties work in some other countries, but here it's one or the other. Like I was a third, but when I used to vote, I always voted third party, never voted Democrat or Republican. And I couldn't believe that all my fellow countrymen didn't want something just new, no matter what it was, just something new. But it's just incredible. Yeah, people love the government telling them what to do, though. It's like we need it. Human beings need it or something. I don't get it. I've always been anti.
Have they been bred that way?
It seems like that, right? It seems like that.
Yeah,
like,
they definitely have.
Somebody, if something's messing around with us, our DNA or something like that, they definitely bred most of us, have this strange addiction to authority.
Yeah. Well, bread and race.
A lot of us love governments, and a lot of us love alcohol.
Yeah. Back on the salt, there's a salt inhalers as well.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me! Really?
Yeah, I've got one because my girlfriend's trying to get me because I've got asthma. So, to answer Frank's question as well, I've had a few times where the system's been really good for me, you know. Where I've been in a really bad state, and if I didn't have some ambulance show up with oxygen and everything else, and then, do you know what I mean, get taken and put on oxygen for a week, I'd probably be knackered. So, but I've also had
Alto.
Yeah.
Oh, give that man a cigarette. Alto, hey? Give that man a cigarette. Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up?
All right.
What's up,
bro?
Oh, not much. I was just listening to Frank rabbiting on about salt. What about monosodium glutamate? Is that good for us, Frank?
Hey, Rollo, that's a big word.
Probably good for you.
Oh, I'm just chilling, having some lunch with the wife. I was at the beach, and I'll be back in 4 or 5 hours, and we'll do a Rick and Rollo together. I've listened to pretty much the whole of you guys chatting away, and I love Velocet's new bumpers. Oh, my God, they're great.
Top notch.
He's gone above and beyond Bellaspet with his new bumpers.
Yep. He's talented.
Yeah. So who's Dr. Fusterclug? Where's he from?
Where'd he go? He's gone.
Oh, is he gone, is he?
He lives.
He was there. I might have scared him off.
But he's seems to be a nomad, and he's living in the desert of...
Yeah, I heard that. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Living in the desert of Arizona. I live right near the desert, California, and I do love camping in the desert in the winter. It is just beautiful out in the desert. Oh, my gosh, especially when the wildflowers grow. Wildflowers are about to pop out of the ground right now.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And what else do we have here today? Purple Play and Benoit?
Benoit? Yeah. Skylarkin was there.
Skylarkin, yeah.
Amazon?
Sure. So do you guys want to talk politics? Oh, well, I think we'll do Sleepy Joe tonight with Rick and Rollo and the amount of how many executive orders has he done in his first week? 19?
Wait a minute. Biden has?
Biden has passed. Really? And he can't even put his head in his pocket after he signs them.
Oh my God.
He's going to get some trans woman put on the $20 bill or something. Like, that's as if that's so important. Like, Christ almighty.
They're really pushing that, aren't they? Like, my God, the President of the United States, the actor or whatever he is, still they want to push it that much? They want to push that agenda? It's happening so fast now. It's all happening so fast.
It's always the way. My dog wants to bark. When you're just an attention hog, aren't you, Rosie? Come on, in you go. In you go. There we go. No more barking on the mic. So yeah, I can't remember the name girl's name, but you know, all sorts of ridiculous, stupid lefty killing that pipeline, killing all those jobs. Am I still here? You guys?
Yeah,
killing all those jobs. You know, because Greta Thunberg doesn't want oil come from Canada. Yeah, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. And didn't Gavin Newsom, Gruesome Newsom, some of the Democratic states open up now because stop the lockdown or whatever?
Yeah, there's an article I got open on my phone right now. LA County, where I live, is allowing restaurants and outdoor dining today, but without televisions.
So they don't have to watch Sleepy Creepy Joe.
They're afraid of the Super Bowl Sunday. I know. They're afraid of Super Bowl Sunday. They're afraid too many people will go out to eat for a Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, okay.
TV, so they're not allowed to
eat. Are they allowing crowds? Sorry, Lost Spider. Nope. Are they allowing crowds in the stadium? They're going to play to an empty stadium. Super Bowl.
They're
going to
play to an empty stadium. Yeah, the restaurants can't have the TVs.
Jesus, the guys in the Super Bowl players are fucking not social distancing.
No.
Jesus.
It's a joke, man. It is a joke. Ooh. It is a joke.
It is. Did you guys see that they want to do, if you get the tips, the Johnson & Johnson's, butt up your nose, tickling your brain. They want to jam it in your butthole now. If they don't want to humiliate you more, they want anal swabs. Anal swabs, as Rick called it. Klaus Schwab.
How many
adults would bend over and take an anal swab?
Could you imagine being the guy that's like, all these months I've been going twice a week to the COVID test place and getting it in my nose. I should have been getting it in my ass like a good citizen.
Exactly.
Imagine being that guy though. Oh my gosh.
I think Jan Eric was here before. He was
two masks isn't enough. We need three masks. You need to wear three masks.
Oh, three masks. Did you say that you suffered
that
from
being said.
Oh, I was
actually saying
you
three masks.
Yeah. How would you cope with that?
Who's saying three masks? Come on.
They were talking about an N95 and then a cloth one over the top. Definitely.
I know they were talking about it too, but I thought it was like, it might have been eat the onion. I think it might have been an article on Reddit that was big. That was like,
it could be in Breitbart or one of those.
I thought an article where it said like three masks will get 95%, whereas two will only get 85% of the particulate or whatever.
Because people are wearing two masks now. I've seen them.
I know.
It's so stupid.
You really know. Like, I can see somebody around where I live. If you don't wear a mask, you're not allowed inside anywhere. So I always wonder. And people will try to not wear masks, but in the end, if you move around, you got to wear one. So I'll be in a place.
I saw something funny the other day. Actually, this amused me. Someone had one of those M95s around their ass. Like, they had jeans on, but they had an M95 on their ass. And I went, that's pretty funny. To stop the fart gases. If you're going to, your breath can give COVID-19, why not your farts?
You got to protect people from it.
Yeah, why do you think they're doing the anal swab?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, well, and then plus usually people are wearing pants, but hey, I think there should be no skirts allowed anymore because,
I don't know, you just got to wear three pair of undies under your jeans instead of one. You got to wear three masks.
But I always wonder when I'm in a place like, because I know some people I work with, like when as soon as we get by ourselves, we take our masks off, And I always wonder, Groove, like if you know that when somebody's wearing two masks, they are a believer. Like everyone else, maybe that guy knows.
I'm a believer.
Maybe that guy knows it's a joke. He's only got one mask and it's under his nose or whatever. But when there's somebody wearing two, it's like, oh my god, you're the reason. You're the one that. You're the reason that the whole world's going crazy because you're buying into the system.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
The Fakeologist audio chat says, stay sane. This is the only place to stay sane. Even, I'll tell you something, Lost Spider. I was watching this morning, what's his name, Mike Graham, who's on London Talk Radio, and they had the plank of the week, and then they all had plexiglass glass between them. I don't just go, yeah. Oh, here we go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Chad from Northern California.
Hi, this is Errol C.
Naeem. Rick from Port Macquarie.
I'm Eric.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Fuck yeah!
Great bumper.
Thank you, Velocet. That's awesome. What is the date today, guys? Come on. We're supposed to do the date and in the chat.
129 of 21.
Oh, so 29th of January 2021, and here we're with Alto, we're here with Lost Spider Fellas. So we got anyone else here? Let's have a look. Anyone else speak up? Announce the salt, of course.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, look, guys, I'm just going to keep listening in, but it's, Rick and Rollo will be back in about 5-6 hours time, and we've got a lot to talk about. Thanks for the what was the Vista that you gave us the other day? Was it San Diego?
Who?
The Vista.
The Vista.
When you were up on that top of the building.
Yeah.
Oh, Los Angeles?
Lost LA. Thanks for that.
Was that last week? I thought that was the week before.
Yeah, last week. Good. All right, guys. I'll talk to you guys later. Last week,
this talk went into the FAR podcast, and it went all the way until the next morning, remember? That was incredible. 27 hours of straight content from fakeologist.com. It was wonderful. Everybody's muted, and I was actually about to jump off you guys and go hang out with my honey. Right, babe? I've been on the phone too long. I call it the phone. Is that like an old bad thing? I call this computer the phone.
Yeah.
Nice to chat to you, Lost Spider Phallus. I hope you find your phallus.
I will. I'll keep looking, man. All right, guys. Catch up with you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye, Jen. So, Dave, is it really you? Is it really Dave Cullen?
Who's that?
You. You're Dave, aren't you?
No. Who's Dave?
I thought you might be a fellow.
Oh, computing forever.
No. I used to talk with an Englishman called Dave. He was down in the south of England.
Oh, right.
And when you said you'd watch me develop something or other
just on here.
Mm-hmm. Frank, Dave Cullen, computing forever, he's Irish. And we've got Dr. Fuster Cluck back too, our Roma. G'day, mate, how are you?
I'm almost back. Let's see what I can do.
What?
I'm going to plug in my...
Plug in his software, his voice morphing software.
Okay, how's that?
Beautiful.
Right.
Frank, have you ever tried a salt inhaler?
No. What do you think of them?
I've kind of tried using it sometimes as a replacement for, like a Ventolin asthma inhaler. And sometimes it kind of works. But it's just like a tube with like a holes in the bottom, and you just put the salt in it and you just breathe over the salt. So you've got to kind of like the thought about a bit to get, I guess, enough of it to kind of vaporize almost.
Okay. There's a thing here, it's probably elsewhere, where they have a room where all the walls are made of salt or lined with salt slabs, and they make it hot.
Yeah.
And you go in them. I don't know what their therapeutic value is, but, I'm just a guy that basically just gets enough in, as much as I can inside me, really.
Because I think with the like inhalation of the vapor, it's all the like anti-inflammatory benefit you're getting, especially if you're having like a sort of a bit of an asthma attack or something,
Well, again, I'm going to, for the 25th time, say asthma.
Mm.
The principal causes, as far as I can work it out, are first of all, you're having margarine, and there is the only correlation that's been found in
in environment with asthma, because asthma rose fairly quickly from World War II, was the increased consumption of margarine. And causation is not correlation, but it is a direct correlate. It is a strong correlation. And the second thing is that your ability to breathe, your ability to respire, becomes more efficient the more free chloride you have in your body. And salt is the only practical source of chloride in your diet. So it's my view that the reason I don't get asthma at all, and my father was a severe asthmatic, and I was told that I was going
Frank, while we got you there, I've run out of your salt.
I promised you some on the air. Yes, you can.
I'll send you my address, and I've got your address.
I've got your address.
Yep.
I'm happy to send you some salt.
I've got some lovely black salt from the salt mines in Colombia. I don't know if you want to try that or not, but it tastes good to me.
No, I wouldn't take it off you. You have it.
I've got a huge bag of it. It's huge.
Have you really?
I couldn't get through it in my lifetime.
Well, when I send this to you, you send me some back then.
No worries, Frank.
Because I was
making a joke before about monosodium glutamate. That's a salt, isn't it? But that's not a good salt, is it?
Well, it's a type of salt. People say that's been really bad
for you. And it makes the toughest cut of meat tender, doesn't it? That's what it's used for, isn't it?
I think, again, it's one of those things that's been demonized. It doesn't have any chloride with it. That's the thing that I think is a big part of the equation. To breathe and to make acid, you need chloride.
I find it terribly addictive, MSG. I think MSG is terribly addictive. Yeah.
You love it. I don't have it much. I taste it strongly in Chinese food. And if it's got too much,
That's why I like Chinese food.
Right.
I love it.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm not. It's like smoking.
I'm addicted to smoking, drinking, all the bad things, you know, that I've been told about. But here you go, and I'm still living and breathing and fit as a fiddle.
You probably are, are you?
Go again, mate. Take two.
I said you probably are.
Fit as a fiddle, man.
I thought you had to get back down there to Melbourne.
I'd love to get back in the Melbourne. I'm not prepared to do it while Dan Andrews is a psychopath in charge. I'm just not going to go down there.
But don't you have to stay fit as a fiddle if you want to be to keep your license with ASIO anyway?
What are you saying?
I've always thought you're an ASIO spy, Rolla. I've always told you that.
No.
I always say that.
They wouldn't have me. They wouldn't have me, loose lips and all of that, you know what I mean?
You reckon?
Yeah, they wouldn't have me. I know someone who's in ASIO. I used to play baseball.
That's good enough for me.
I won't say their name, but yeah.
The private spy organization. Masquerading is working for us.
I am working for you guys.
ASIO is the fake government spy organization. Masquerading as working for us, which has been in fact a private corporation.
Well, mate. Are you still hanging out with those? Who are the guys that you were promoting there? With the vaccine.
I've
forgotten that.
They've had a bit of a dust up though. They are called Solutions Empowerment Online.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Tell me about the dust up.
Well, they've had some internal dust up, which one guy separated from another guy and. The website had to be restored, and there are all sorts of dramas. There's always dramas in this world, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was listening to—I'll tell you who I was listening to the other day on FakoTube. That Jeff Berwick, who he said he enjoyed 2020 like never before, because it just made it so interesting to him. You know, the Bitcoin guy, with Lucy, his dog.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Oh, yeah, no, I saw that,
I never met him either, but I saw the 2020 thing. Is just so fantastic for him. He's obviously made out very well financially, but and he's living in a place where there's no retards wearing face masks down there in Mexico. And, yeah, he's loving it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck to him.
Unfortunately, because I didn't make the move to Mexico early enough, it's going to be difficult for me to get there now. I'm supposed to be playing badminton in Japan right now.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah. Is that called a first world problem or what? That's the only level of suffering I have.
I think so. Why am I not in Japan playing badminton? Yeah. I would have played against you when I was
all
there.
I can say.
I would love to have played against you in Geelong. Yeah, we should have done that. When we meet up next, because I know you'll live to 100.
My plan is to live to at least 970. In fact, my understanding is that we have eternal life now, don't we? The story is that the sacrifice of the lamb gave us eternal life.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Alto?
Well, I wouldn't know because I'm not, I find it interesting and I find the stories interesting, but I don't fully subscribe to everything necessarily. And I don't have that much knowledge either, so I wouldn't even know. I mean, why do we die then? Just because we ingest too many poisons?
Well, I wonder that. I wonder if the reason we die is because we're told we're going to, so we do.
I mean, I had a strange thing when up in this these mountains in Ghana, this Volta region, and all the tour guide guy was saying telling us, oh, the people, like, the oldest they get around here is like 120, 130. And I was like, nah, they don't. That's impossible. He's like, no, they definitely, they definitely do. And it wasn't like he was, I don't know, it seemed like it was kind of legit anyway. And
yeah,
they have really big funerals over there. And you'd see on all the, lampposts, like funerals being advertised, and they're always like 95 years old or whatever. I didn't see any like 100 plus, but, there was loads of very old people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And they're living pretty much, a lot of places don't even have street lights,
Yeah.
Literally just everything is grown in your area.
Yeah.
So, but they're still obviously, they're not probably getting sufficient nourishment either. But maybe just the fact that they're out of this mass industrial society means that even without the best nourishment, some people are living like, over
100. Well, I'm guaranteeing those guys are having plenty of salt, because if they're that old, they would have grown up with a life of high salt. That would just be a straight out certainty.
Yeah, because if you think back to like great grandparents sort of generation, they'd be storing things in massive things of salt.
Yeah. Eggs, for example, were stored in saturated brine, and so the eggs were always salty. And in fact, storing eggs in...
Yeah, I guess grinding things, yeah.
That was just the norm.
Mm. Yeah, I've never really thought about that. The brining is, just basically liquid salting everything.
How long do we live for? We don't know, but I basically think when people find those skeletons and say they're Cro-Magnons or whatever they call them,
yeah,
I just think they're very long-lived people.
Yeah, perhaps. They're like a far taller race of people as well, and different,
I just think they're us. I don't think they're different people. I think that's, if we live long enough, that's what we become.
Alto, can I tell you something?
Hmm.
My doctor gave me 6 months to live. I couldn't pay the bill, so he gave me another 6 months, and that was 10 years ago. Stupid joke, but there you go.
I'm sure there's truth in that, Rollo.
There is a little bit of truth in that, Frank. Oh dear.
It is an excellent joke, though.
Oh yes. If you believe it, if a doctor tells you you're going to die, you believe it,
you'll die. It's no different. It's no different to when I first came to Australia. I used to constantly get told this story about how witch doctors pointed the bone.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
I haven't heard that story for a long time, by the way. Have you heard the pointing the bone story?
The Aboriginals used to do it to each other, didn't they?
The pointing the bone story.
Pointing the bone, yeah. And it's basically modern medicine is like, yeah, sorry, mate.
Exactly that.
That's it. Yeah. And so then you go into flight or fight mode in your own mind. How do I, what am I going to do? What am I going to, and, you know, all your adrenaline just floods out every day.
Yeah. It just kills you.
It kills you. Yeah, it does. That's why they do, this is why I heard they do, you know, those ritual sacrifices, and then they get the person right up to the point of they're most scared, and then they kill them and then drink their blood. It's a drug or something.
Adrenochrome. The adrenochrome story, yeah.
Some conspirators.
Wouldn't it be horrible? But you know, it could be true. We don't. Yeah,
it could be.
We don't know anything.
But we know for sure. No one's ever seen any proof. Yet they'll claim like they've literally been there.
Is that right?
So
There's no proof at all of it.
Where's the proof?
Alto, can I ask you a question? For your asthma, do you use Ventolin or what's the active?
Yeah, ingredient? Ventolin. But I like. Maybe a few times a year. I don't really use it.
Yeah. Because it's a steroid that you just breathe in and you're struggling.
Yeah.
I can't remember the... hold on, I'll go and grab mine and I'll tell you what it is.
I'll view some more, probably.
So that, you know, in my world, if you cut out processed carbohydrates, have saturated fat and no seed oils, and have more salt, you should significantly mitigate your asthma.
Oh, yeah, I do. I don't really have it, you know.
Okay.
I don't have it now.
I'll read this. Sorry, guys. Yeah. So it's salbutamol.
Yeah, salbutamol.
Ventolin
yeah.
inhaler, CSC-free, 100 UG per meter dose.
Micrograms.
As sulfate. Yeah. Is that micrograms, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's 200 meter doses. Shake well before use. Created by Allen and Hanbury's, division of GlaxoSmithKline.
GSK.
I rarely use it unless I'm in, you know, real respiratory distress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching a Dire Straits concert.
Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Mark Knopfler. You're not a Dire Straits fan then?
Oh, it's just that, you know, it's said that when you're in where you're in a bad way, you're in Dire Straits.
Oh, I gotcha. You're too clever by half, Frank.
A bit too subtle, wasn't it?
Hold on.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com. Have you ever questioned the nature of your reality?
Yes. Never.
I have questioned the nature of it. It's 29th of January, 2021. You're here with me, Rollo, Alto, and Frank, the salt guy. And how long have we been going now, guys?
But while I've got you here, Rollo, I want to reopen an old topic. I want to know what love is.
I want to know what love is, foreigner.
Before you answer me, let me go and make myself a bread roll with some ham and cheese and some salt. Give myself a glass of milk, and I'll be back while you work out your answer.
Okay. Love. Love of another person or love of food? Or love of a good oil painting or watercolor or love of a piece of music. It depends on what you're talking about. I'll wait till Frank gets back and I'll say that to him again. What about you, Alto?
That's your question, mate. I'm going to go make a tea as well.
You're going to make a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Do it the way the fellow who wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Douglas Adams, he actually wrote... If you read it, how to make a proper cup of tea, and I believe the guy because I've used his method and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably all right many ways, mate.
But I love a cup of tea, and I hate a cup of tea if it's got sugar in it. I don't like sugar in my tea, but I like a nice cup of tea with... I don't use cow's milk. I don't drink cow's milk. I use oat milk in my tea. Anyway, go and enjoy your tea.
I'm back, brother. I'm ready to find out what love is.
Sorry, Frank. I was talking there, but I was muted. It's a question of context, okay? Like, I love certain foods. I love certain works of art, painting, oil or watercolor, it doesn't matter. I love, what else?
What does love mean in the context of, you know, a painting?
Aesthetically pleasing to me.
So do you think the word love is the wrong word there, Ben?
It could well be. I think it's overused, maybe. It's like the word propaganda. I mean, there's nothing wrong with propaganda, as long as it's positive, and but it's just been given such a negative connotation. Love is maybe, you're right, it's overused, and maybe used when I say I love you, if you say it too much to another person, and if it's lost its meaning, I don't know. But I love my wife, or you love your wife. There you go. It's the right word in that context.
What does it mean to say you love your wife? What are you meaning?
Well, it means if she wasn't there, you know, because we're having problems at the moment. I've spoken about that. And it would just leave an empty hole in your heart. I don't want to get too melancholy. But, yeah, I try to use it in the right way. I like you, Frank. I kind of love you in a way.
What does love mean in that context?
Well, it means you'll talk to me and engage, and you're not out for your own gain. It's a sort of reciprocal type arrangement. You know, I'm talking to you, you're talking to me, and you make me feel good, even if you're abusing me for being a drunk sometimes, I don't know, or whatever you have a go at me about.
I don't abuse you for being a drunk.
I have got on a plane down there to Geelong, especially, and now that might never happen again. I don't hate a lot of things, but I hate that if we had never got to play a game of badminton together, I'd love to play a game of badminton with you.
I'm ruthless, mate. Yeah, I think I should tell you.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are, and that's why I would try my best to even, you know, stay in the game, if you know what I mean.
Have you ever played it?
Yep. Shuttlecock, we used to call it. We never called it badminton. We called it shuttlecock.
Yeah.
For some reason. I think the shuttlecock is the thing that you use.
Yeah, that was the original name. It was called shuttlecock. Yeah.
Hmm.
I think it's a much better name than badminton, to be honest.
Yeah, well, shuttlecock.
So when did you played it at school, did you?
I just not professionally like you. If you were going to Japan,
I don't play professionally. Yeah, I'm club player. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'd give you a good game.
Interesting.
Yeah. It reminds me of, you know, beach volleyball. You know, it's a sort of same way. You can play it sort of the same way. You know what I mean? Are you any good at ping pong or table tennis?
Mm-hmm.
You play that?
I'm okay. I play it. We've got a table tennis table and we use it a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a game of that too. And what about darts? Are you any good at that?
I'm rubbish at darts. But what we should do then is play racquetlon.
Oh, tell me about that. I don't know what that is.
Racquetlon is where you play a game of badminton, a game of tennis, a game of table tennis, and a game of squash.
Oh, I see.
And then the one with the most points at the end of it all is the winner.
Wow. Sounds awesome. Then we do shots at the end. So you mean you can do how many shots of tequila?
Yeah, no, I can't do any shots. I can only drink red wine.
That's okay. And the good red wine that we drank down there in Geelong when we were down there, oh, we had some nice stuff. We were watching Luke. How's he doing? Yeah. Is he doing all right?
He's doing all
right. Is he busy? Does he have any gigs?
Yeah, he's busy. He's all that stuff. His life is fulfilling for him in every way, I think.
What a great guy.
He's writing a book now.
Yeah. You got over the fact that he wouldn't let you up on stage there for the little shaman act?
No, I'll never forgive
you. Me and you were drinking the oldest single malt whiskies that night at the back there. It was just so good watching him do his thing. It was such a good night.
I think if he'd let me up on the stage, you would have had a much more successful launch.
Oh, it wasn't bad. The room was full enough.
Yeah. No, I'm never going to forgive him. I've told him that.
Oh, you're not? Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Come on. Forgive him.
No chance.
All right. All right.
It's unforgivable.
All right.
So we're still looking for, you know, what love is.
Love.
But, you know, it's obviously too difficult a topic at the moment.
Well, it's not the opposite of hate. I know that. We all know that. Because indifference is the opposite of love. So I know what the opposite of love is. Indifference. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I thought that was the opposite of hate, but hate was the...
No. Or hate, it's the same deal. The opposite of hate is indifference.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Because love and hate are almost the same thing. In a sense, it appears to be.
Yeah.
It's a circle. So you've got a circle, right? You've got love and hate right next to each other, and on the other end of the diameter of the circle, you've got indifference.
Yeah. I think that's a very powerful thought.
Succinct, I think, is the word you're looking for. Good idea, Frank. I'll be back. Yeah, succinct thought. Alto's gone to make a cup of tea. I'm going to go and have a chill-out sesh, and I'll be back with Rick in about 4 hours or something. So it's good to talk to you, Frank. And yeah.
I'm missing you already, Roller.
Oh, thank you, mate. If you had a few red wines at about 7 o'clock this evening, come back and join us, all right?
It may indeed come to pass if I get no better offers.
All right, mate. Catch you later.
If you ever change your mind about leaving me behind, oh, pray to me, bring your sweet love and bring it on home to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
you still stick around, Frank?
Yeah, sure. I've decided to have a Sabbath.
Oh, okay. Then you've got a little piper or something.
This is how I'm spending my Sabbath.
Yeah. But you have a little piper or something, a little piper cub or something like that.
No, I have a Comanche.
Oh, okay.
Piper Comanche. Yeah, it's a gorgeous
piper
one.
Comanche.
It's a bit broken at the moment from neglect.
How come you're not working on it then?
Well, I should be, shouldn't I?
Hey?
Yeah, I'm at the stage where I'm ready to start doing that.
Oh, okay.
I just let it go while I had to get my salt business up and running.
Yeah. You had it ages then?
I've had it for a long time. Very lovely aircraft.
Yeah. Yeah, they look nice. I quite like that. They're quite awesome.
Yeah, they're just beautiful.
Mm.
One of the
what sort of range does it have then?
Look, if you put wingtip tanks on them, apparently they can go over 900 nautical miles. No, it must be more. It must be. But it's a long way. They can spend 9 hours in the air, I think, with
wingtip
tanks.
Wow. Mm. What do they do, like 200?
They do 140 knots, so
140.
Yeah, it's like 1,500 nautical miles with the wingtip tanks.
Yeah.
Mm. So a fellow is here to talk flat earth.
Is that what's going on, is it?
I don't think so.
I'm mostly just waiting for Marcus Allen and reading stuff and wanting to hear what you guys are talking about.
Oh, what? Marcus Allen live stream.
You put one of my favorite bands on there. I love Cake.
I also love Cake. I actually have to do something about it. Here, but...
Oh, he's gone. What time of the day is it for you, Alto? So, may I ask your name?
Yeah, that's my name, man.
Huh?
That is my name.
Alto.
Yeah. Yeah. Real name.
what are you up to at this time, at this moment, apart from talking on...
I've got my printer doing some stupid mold thing, but the filament's not coming off the spool properly, so I'm like managing it.
Are you doing 3D printing?
Yeah.
Amazing technology. What are you printing?
It's like a small little form for a mold, like a concrete piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty basic though. It's pretty basic technology. It's not, you know, all you're doing is putting a little bit of like melting a bit of plastic filament and then sticking it to itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple.
And does it give accurate results?
Yeah, pretty accurate. But it's not the problem with the machines, like the basic, you know, the basic consumer level machine. Like I've got some really cheap, you know, probably only cost like 350 or quid, you know. That I've just upgraded and tweaked to get it at least reliable for making molds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you can get down to probably like the nozzle, like the tip of the nozzle is like a 0.4 millimeter, mm-hmm. like the most normal use. And you can get, you probably get like 0.1 millimeter tolerance with it. Like I can print M8 threads, M6 threads, nuts and bolts, you know, and they'll work properly.
Wow. Did you print them in wax and do like a lost wax and use that
to make
a lost wax system?
Yep, you can do that. You can.
And that's what most commonly happens, is it?
Well, no one really does that. No one really does that. Because it's quite awkward to have. There's not like a proper commercially available wax printing setup, you know. It'd be a thing that you'd have to develop yourself, and sort of some universities try versions of it and things. There's all sorts of different filaments. You can get like a PVA filament that you can print stuff out of, and it's water soluble, you know, wash it away. Or you can just print your form, use that in a, you know, when you do your own, make your own like a sand casting setup.
Yep.
And, you know, you've got the box that's split in two and all of that, and you put the part in on the one half and whatever. You can do it's pretty easy doing casting and stuff that way. But the main thing I use them for is they can composite, like I make carbon fiber parts with them. I design the part I want in carbon, and then I'll print out a mold that is like a sort of a two-sided mold, and I use that to press my part, if you see what I mean.
Okay.
And the
carbon fiber parts.
Yeah.
It's the carbon fiber is the cloth, and then you use just fiberglass resin, do you?
Epoxy resin.
What sort of resin?
Epoxy.
Okay.
It's basically different
from fiberglass resin, is it?
Yeah. Fiberglass resin will traditionally anyway be polyester resin.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
What was I saying? Fiberglass is polyester resin. Yeah, with styrene, you know. It's the one with a load of styrene in it. It's got that sweet almondy smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same stuff as like bodywork, body filler, you know.
So why do you use a different resin with carbon fiber compared to?
Because epoxy is a better resin. It's a mechanical.
So can you use? So presumably you can use epoxy with fiberglass as well, then, can you?
Yeah, but if you're certain, like you wouldn't use it with a regular chop strand mat, because with fiberglass, it's got like adhesives holding it together, and the styrene melts the adhesives, and then it gets loose and workable. So you've got to get like specific fibers and, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, you can do that as well with glass. Yeah, of course you can reinforce any bloody resin with any material, any fabric. It doesn't make any difference really.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference to what you get mechanically, but you know, it's the same. Obviously, you know, from planes back in the day, you know.
My plane is aluminium, not...
Not composite or anything. But, back in the day, they were even doing, you know, like cotton, doping the cotton and things like that.
Yeah, well, that was, yeah.
Same principle. Same
stuff with camels, though.
Yeah. Same principle.
Yeah. And so nothing that's new. Your job? Is that your job? Nothing new under the sun, that's right.
Nothing new. I mean, in my job, I do some of that. Yeah, this is my stuff, though. I'm doing at the moment, right now.
Just for fun.
Well, fun at the moment. Hopefully, it's going to get some. At some point, I'll be making some money from it and not have to do some other bollocks job I don't want to do.
Okay. So you want to be a 3D?
No. It's just one of many tools, you know. It's by no means the be all and end all. It's just a very useful tool when you want to go from digital concepts to material reality, you know.
Hmm. So what, do you draw it on AutoCAD or something?
Yeah. Draw it on, I use just Fusion 360 because it's kind of lightweight and not too difficult to use, kind of simple. Yeah. Hmm. So you just draw whatever you want. Then you've got like a software that takes it and cuts it into really thin layers, you know, like 0.2 millimeter, 0.1 millimeter, whatever you want. And yeah, and it works out the order. It's kind of printed and everything. And if you've got overhangs, it will, you know, you can set it to build like a support structure under all that and stuff like that, you know. It's really slow as well.
The software or the printer?
The process, yeah, the printer, yeah. So say you wanted to print just like a saucer, depending on how much density you want to print it with as well, because, you know, you can print just the shell and have the whole thing hollow or whatever. But, yeah, it probably takes you like 6 hours. If you had it completely solid, it could maybe take over 24 hours, I guess.
If you were doing it casting, you know, being a potter to make a plate.
Yeah.
And then firing the thing, it's going to take you longer than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. And also it is one tiny, tiny tool that can actually, do you know what I mean? It takes a lot of things out of the, it takes a lot of steps out to get to a final product or so close to a final product.
Okay. So you're saying does prototyping much quicker?
Yeah.
Very interesting. I've never done it. I've seen it.
Yeah,
I keep threatening myself to do it, but
yeah, it's pretty simple. It's just a bit. Some of the only things that are really difficult is just, I don't know, just knowing the all the little quirky things, you know, that you have to get right with setups and stuff. That's the hassle of the undeveloped thing. It's not like a, you know, you go and buy a car, it's just going to run. You know, you buy this thing and it's you spend so many hours just trying to remedy issues. But also because you're buying a 350 quid toy, really, and you're trying to use it to actually make something proper.
Amazing, and all the same.
Yeah. Right.
And so you've always been called Alto on this forum.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard you much on the radio chats or anything.
I haven't done anything for. I think like maybe at the start of last year I did a bit, and the year before. Okay. The year before that, I did a bit, and yeah, I don't know. It depends because most of the time I've only just had my that's the other thing. My computer's been broken for like a year and a half. I only fixed it. So,
how did you do without a computer for a year and a half?
Kind of took over my girlfriend's laptop.
She abandoned it, so you took it over.
Well, no, I just had to take it. You know, I can't really. You know, there's some stuff for work that I need to. You know, I need to draw stuff out on CAD things and, you know, print certain things for fixtures and stuff like that. So,
yeah. So what do you do for a living?
Sort of mix of different sort of renovation, restoration, building work stuff.
Are you a handyman?
I have been. It's not what I'm always doing though, but yeah, I can do quite a lot of stuff basically. That's what I end up having to do in like, if we take on some job like renovating a house or something, you know, get other people in to do as much stuff as possible. And then I'm sort of, me and my partner that I work with, we're filling in, you know, doing all the other bits.
Yeah. And that's how you make your bob.
Yeah, at the moment. It's a lot of work now. I don't, you know, there's no money in working with your hands. Not too sure. Just enjoyable. So I think time for enjoyment's over.
You think the time for enjoyment's over?
Well, I need to be able to actually afford to live. So I have to make way more money now.
Right.
And to do that means I have to do a lot of stuff that I don't really want to do, you know. I would rather not have to do that. I'd rather just be left on my own and allowed to develop the things I actually want to develop without the constraints of, this has to make X return in X period of time, or, you know, I can't pay my rent or whatever, you know. So I've yet to find anyone with a solution that... for the money system, you know, besides getting more.
Oh, you know, in my case, it was to start my own business.
Yeah, exactly. So get more money.
So Well, not more money, just a more dependable.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and one that other would have a bit more, control.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's really what I mean, is control and to not have it be an issue.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
Yeah.
So you've got that now, or you haven't got that now?
Oh, no, I don't have any. Right.
You're at the whim.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like I have been all my life.
Yeah, yeah. Not that I don't have that much of a problem with it. But, it's a problem for parties involved, you know.
Well, I've suddenly been overwhelmed with the desire to have an afternoon snooze.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you for the chat.
Cool, see you, man.
Talk another time, my fellas.
That's all, folks.